Rant.
That's it. We're live on the Rant. We're live ranty. On Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, everywhere that you get your Shining Wizards Wrestling podcast. Tony, episode 587. Kevin is here. He just we had a little pre-show.
Whoa.
Meeting, and then he had to use the little boys' room. So Kevin will be back for the show.
Kevin had to make tinkles.
Tinkle, tinkle. We got happy Memorial Day to all of you out there. If any of you served, thank you for your service. It's greatly appreciated. We wouldn't be doing this podcast for 10 years if it wasn't for you. Right? Is that a nice thing to say?
Yeah. 10 plus years, of course. We happily piggyback on the freedoms that our military has provided for us over the past almost three centuries. So, yes, thank you all.
Century is 100, right?
Yeah, so it's almost 300. It's almost three. Right. Yeah, like 2.5 centuries, somewhere around there. Depends on where you consider the start of the United States.
Well, is it whatever? I'm not going down a history rabbit hole with you.
Math and history, yay!
No, this is not Schoolhouse Rocks.
Schoolhouse Rocks.
Oh well, happy Memorial Day to all out there. Episode 587. We got a giant show. I was gonna say, but I didn't.
What were you gonna say?
Big show.
Well.
We got Matt Lancey joining us shortly. Talk Wildcat Sports, their X-rated show coming up on June 25th, I believe. Ooh. Is the date I have in here. June 25th, yes. We got AEW Double or Nothing to talk about. We got picks to talk about.
Oh boy,
which is yeah. You know what, Tony? Oh boy, yourself. Okay, I wrote it down, fucker. Well, we got two things we need to discuss tonight.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. One, this bullshit committee nonsense.
Oh, we're going to do this again?
Tony, we're a couple weeks out from Can You Beat That? I need to know. I got to know what the situation is. Secondly, you have been teasing for weeks. Punishment for me and Kevin. I wrote it down now, all right? You will say it at the beginning of the show, oh, I'll tell you guys your punishment later. And then we get on some crazy rant, and we're talking about this and two T's and that. We're all over the place. And then I fucking forget. And then we get off the show and I'm fucking making dinner and I'm processing. I go, oh, this motherfucker didn't tell us the punishment again. I wrote it down tonight.
Under show stuff. Show stuff.
Very organized. I'm a very organized individual.
I'm curious to see what's written down that's not designated as show stuff.
Patreon.
Well, that's show stuff. It's all show
stuff. That's not stuff to talk on during the show, though. 600th episode. We talked about it in text. I just wanted to clarify the July 5th episode, since the 4th is a Monday.
Ooh.
And then I wrote down bonus content, but we were talking Patreon stuff, so we never got there. That's what was under that.
All this and more?
Oh, we're going to do Down the Aisle tonight, too.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. So all that and more next here. On your favorite wrestling podcast, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Outlander, Zicky Dice, and you're listening to Shining Wizards.
What's up, fuckers?
Where did cheese go?
A stupid fucking question, Kevin.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Hey, this was Moose.
God, that was disgusting.
Shining Wizards rule the world.
You are tuned in live to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, episode 587, live on the Rant, rantemradio.com, coming to you in video format live on all of the video formats, including Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and the YouTubes, and going with you wherever you go because we are available on all podcasting platforms, including Anchor FM, by the way. But enough of the bullshit. It's time for some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
You dummy.
I'm unmuted. KJG. Happens to the best of us, boys.
Of course it does. What's going on, boys?
I went to go share the link and forgot to unmute myself. Ooh.
Fellas, how are we doing tonight?
Great. Great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How about you, Kev?
Living the dream. How was the old holiday weekend?
I mean, fine. Not really fine. Relaxing. Tony's
kid celebrated his 55th birthday.
That's fuck right. Yeah, dude. AARP bound. That's what I say.
Let me ask you a question, right?
What's that?
Seriously. I think I consider you guys my best buds, right?
That's uh-huh.
Right. And I invite you over and I share things with you. How come you don't ever tell us when it's your birthday, when it's your kid's birthday? What if we wanted to send some edible arrangements or a crave case or something nice for your kid? Penthouse. I don't know.
Well, you know what my birthday is. You guys wish me happy birthday this year.
It's always around fucking WrestleMania, and you never tell us.
Yeah, I never know what your birthday is, ever.
See, that's a shame. I know when your birthday is, Kev. I know when your birthday
is, because here's the thing. My birthday's on Facebook, so you could easily check that out. And Tony, Matt, I don't know if yours is as well.
No offense, but if it's your birthday on Facebook and like it comes up, I'm not wishing you happy birthday on Facebook.
I don't care if you wish it to be on.
No, not you. This is in general. Yeah. This is in general.
That's fine, but that's an easy indicator to know when my birthday is.
You want to know something dumb? I'm glad this came up. When somebody will post like some like wrestling website, say like Wrestling News Gaga, whatever, on Facebook.
Oh, I love the Gaga.
I love Wrestling News Gaga. I get their magazine every month.
That's right. Gaga,
it's
weekly.
Beautiful, isn't it? Anyway, so like they'll post monthly. Up like today is Matt Cardona's 36th birthday.
And happy birthday, Matt.
But everybody just puts happy birthday, Matt, underneath. You think fucking Matt is reading fucking Wrestling Gaga news to see who's wishing him a happy birthday? No, it's fucking stupid.
But if he's tagged in it, he might notice.
No, but he's not. Usually it's not. They usually just put the person's name up and it's like, oh, well, happy birthday, so-and-so.
I'm not super familiar with Wrestling Gaga, so I don't know how they operate.
My question is, how do you think Wrestling Gaga got so big? They wish people happy birthday, and then those people read, and they go, ooh, I should tell all my other wrestling friends about Happy Gaga.
Yeah, that's the whole gimmick. The gimmick is just like, let's just wish famous wrestlers happy birthday, and then everybody's going to come subscribe to our channel because of that. I don't know. It's just dumb.
Mott Spock, happy birthday, Mark.
That's later, sir.
Yeah, so here's something, too, by the way. Kate, Matt Cardona, and I have the same birthday. So does Big Rich from Jersey. That's a great day to be born, apparently.
Great. All that information and $3 will get me on the PATH train. Who gives a shit?
And learning how to spell birthday also will get you somewhere.
Wait,
did
you spell
B-I-R-T,
it? B-I-R-T.
Nope, B-R.
B-I-R.
Birthday. The Bert business.
To Matt Cardona and Kate the Great.
Happy Bert business day.
Our poor guest, Matt Lancey, he joined during our pre-show. I love when somebody's early. He's listened to all this bullshit for the past 10 minutes. I want to add him to the stream if he's ready, but I don't see his beautiful face.
There he is. He's listening. I love it.
Yeah, y'all been cracking me up for the last 10 minutes. I'll tell you that.
Well, Matt, it's an absolute pleasure.
I want to go off of what Tony said. Yeah, don't wish people happy birthday on Facebook. Send them a message. Call them.
Thank you.
Bullshit. That's cheating.
Thank you.
But what if it's an acquaintance and not necessarily a friend?
Then don't fucking wish him happy birthday.
But what if you still want to make sure that they're having a good day, man?
Get their number.
And what? And do what? Then text them once a year like a jerk?
Yeah. If you're that concerned about it and you want to show them that you're like interested and you care enough that you want to wish them happy birthday, get their phone number.
No, I'm sorry, Matt. Give me 1 second. Oh, Matt Lancy, not Matt Shining. So if I'm going to get somebody's phone number to text them once a year, what's the difference between that and wishing it to them on Facebook if that's the only time I'm going to talk to them once a year?
Because, go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead, Matt.
If it's not someone you talk to once a year, if it's someone you talk to daily, whatever, you should know right off the bat.
Exactly. And I do both. Like, Kate, we just talked about it. It was Kate's birthday. I texted Kate, happy birthday, I believe. Kate, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But she doesn't have the Facebook. So my buddy Rich McDonald, it was also his birthday, texted him and made it Facebook official. So everyone else could see that people care about this individual.
No, you make it so this way you think that you care about everybody. Like, hey, look at me. I'm Kevin. I'm wishing my friend a happy birthday.
No, that's not true. You idiot.
Well, don't do it.
What do you mean? Why would they give me the option then to do it?
Who gave you the option?
Facebook.
Call your friend.
Freaking Zuckerberg.
Call your friend. Big Rich is a good friend of yours. He's worth more than a Facebook message.
I said that I texted him. I said that I called him. And then I also made it Facebook official. So people see that he is loved by others.
Facebook official is like, wow, look at me. I'm on attention. I'm wishing my friend a happy birthday.
That's
what
Facebook was made for, you dope.
No, it's not.
It was made for people to get attention.
No, it's not. Yeah, for people that are like a bitching about politics or religion or, God forbid, wrestling pay-per-views and other nonsense.
Matt, Lancy, sir, what do you think about what this?
I said my piece.
he's out. He had enough.
Thanks for joining us tonight. This is a great talk.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to get a message from Luke Hawks later. Matt Lancy hated because all you did was talk about Facebook birthdays.
Oh, Jesus.
What was that?
10-minute Facebook debate.
When we get on our rants.
This guy's held almost every title in Wildcat sports, and we're talking about fucking Facebook with him.
Bad timing.
Poor Matt. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule at the Outlaw Lancy on Twitter, @Outlaw_Lancy on Instagram. X-rated June 25th down there in New Orleans. You've been with Wildcat for such a long time, and you've gotten the opportunity to grow with Wildcat. You've done stuff with WWE because of Wildcat, and you've teamed with Luke. What does it mean? This June 25th X-rated show, which is sold out, people. If you want to go, they got 50 walk-up tickets available day of. First come, first serve, 21 and over. Look at this, Matt Lance. He's teasing. What does Wildcat Sports Entertainment mean to you?
Well, we start off, I'll start off the kickoff. I know we're going to have a bunch of Wildcat superstars on y'all's podcast coming up. And I'll start the kickoff, the buzz for June 25th X-rated. I believe this is our 5th X-rated show. I have been with Wildcat Sports since the beginning. First class. It was me and 6 other guys. I am the only one left from that class, besides myself and my current manager, Hard Buddy Harper. In that process, I was able to grow with Wildcat and actually become a head trainer at the facility and training all the new students coming in and all that. And I've been at every event since the inception of Wildcat back in 2011. So this itself is a big event coming back just for, everyone says it. We had COVID, we got shut down. We actually got hit bad by Hurricane Ida last year as well. So we haven't had wrestling, professional wrestling per se in Louisiana, in the South, as a big presence such as Wildcat Sports. And I'm excited. I know for a damn fact everyone else is excited. And just to show you, the show is sold out. So everyone here is excited as well.
Yeah, and we love Luke. He's been a longtime friend of the show. What can you say about what he's been doing with his career and how he's manifested into a completely different animal than he was maybe 20 years ago?
Even 10. I've been in the business for 11 years now, all with Luke Hawks. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, in the last year and a half or so, even currently, he's you know, shot straight to the moon with everything he's doing, all this, the acting and the TV shows and the movies and all that stuff. You know, he's gonna talk about himself next week. I know that for a fact. But I'll tell him, you know, he has provided for as many people as he can in Louisiana, as well as everybody else, even professional wrestling. You know, without Wildcat, I wouldn't be here to even appear on y'all's podcast and everything. So, you know, I give him credit for that as well as everything he's done.
Now, I apologize if I missed this, but I was checking the Wildcat social media and the website today. And the website's wildcatsports.com, and that's Cat with a K.
That's right.
They haven't announced matches yet, have they?
We have not, but I have a special treat.
Is it a Matt Lancey match?
It is a Matt Lancey match. I was actually just updated moments before I entered the chat with y'all. It will be a first time ever matchup for Matt Lancey, and I am excited as hell because this has not happened. It will be June 25th, X-rated, Matt Lancey versus Shane Taylor.
Whoa!
Oh, shit!
Whoa!
First matchup, hit right off the bat.
Damn. That's big, man. How does that make you feel?
I'm excited. I've been on the outside looking in with everything he's done at Wildcat, even every, you know, in professional wrestling itself. And you know, I'm excited because I'm a brawler. I know Shane's gonna bring all, and it's gonna be. Let's just say I'm gonna feel it the next day. I can tell you that as well as he will.
That's awesome. Shane Taylor versus Matt Lancey, two former Wildcat heavyweight champions, going toe to toe. Wow, if that's not getting your sea legs under you right away, I don't know what is.
For a big hiatus such as we had with Wildcat Sports, I'm excited to get back. I know that I got a tall task in Shane Taylor, but I'm no stranger to any of that.
I have to ask a very weird question.
Oh, boy.
I was catching up on Matt Lancey stuff, and I watched your match with Stevie Richards. And there's an angle. It looks like Stevie Richards has a goddamn Pringles can in his tights. Is that something? Do you, like, go back and be like, bro, what the? Come on, bro. What are you doing? I've been in a locker room, like, once or twice. I usually just sit by the curtain and be weird. But, like, do you guys talk about, like, shit like that?
We talked about a lot.
I'm just going to say, we talked about a lot of shit, and I'm going to leave it at that. Because this is going to go down a weird, weird alley, and I don't think we want to go there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just was watching the match, and I'm like, Jesus, dude. Like, good for you. But I don't know, like, you know, if you're like, bro, put a fucking cup on or something, man.
All right. So bringing it back to actually wrestling, but keeping Stevie Richards in the conversation, what's something like that worth to you too? Wrestling a guy like Stevie Richards, man, that's like.
Continue. Sorry.
No. I'm just saying, what he's meant to wrestling in so many different ways, especially in the Wildcat family. He's a mainstay there. So is he like one of the family? Does it still feel special when he comes in and you get the chance to work him?
Yes, it definitely does. Actually, Stevie Richards is I hold him to a high regard. He's actually one of my mentors, and I'll pick his brain constantly, send him matches. You know, we'll discuss various angles or anything that makes sense because, you know, he has a plethora of knowledge for how long he's been in the business, and he still loves the business. He loves to help. But it means a lot when, I can call him up, you know, send him a text, give him a call, and, you know, he'll answer, he'll respond back. Hey, you know, send me something. Hey, let's talk, you know, and he's very big on, wanting to speak to you and actually see if it registers with you and not just, you know, send you a bunch of words and a text and then you take it how you take it. That's kind of something that I, instill in all my students that I always tell them if they have any questions, please don't message them to me, write them down, and I want you to ask me in person so that I can try to explain it to you so you understand where we're coming with it, and not, and I want you to know what's going on, not just say and take it how you want in word form. But yeah, it's very, very special having him around.
So for those not familiar with yourself, obviously Wildcat is quite a hike from you know, New Jersey. So for the for those not 100% familiar,
but Kevin.
Oh, I know. I know where you're going. Go ahead. No, no, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. No.
I know you're rocking that WrestlePro shirt. I know the Wildcat Championship was defended at a WrestlePro show in 2018. Yep. Mr. Lance was there.
Mm-hmm. Came up short in that one, but yes, I was at WrestlePro back in 2018. Well, it was 18, so I can't remember. It was so many years ago. COVID, you know, that's 2 years of just a blur.
Wait, you were up in Jersey?
I was. Myself, Jay Spade. I believe Pump Patrol was up there.
I did not. Mm-hmm. Either my memory is bad, which it is, because I'm at every. It was a Rawway. Was it a Rawway show?
It was.
Or was it a union show?
Yeah. It was WrestlePro, No Holds Barred, the Rawway Rec Center. Jay Spade at the time was the heavyweight champ, and he defended in a four-way with Buster Jackson, Matt Lancey, and Sean Donovan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, cause I work Gorilla for Pat Buck and Kevin Matthews. So
name dropping, son of a bitch.
Well, I had to let him know
who's
that.
Who's using the bell over there? Who's in control of the bell? Yeah.
whatever I name drop people that I know, he rings the bell.
The bell.
Yeah. All right. So it's coming back to me. 10 years of working for them. It's tough to remember everything.
Oh, it was a great time up there. Great promotion. Great atmosphere.
Did you come to the bar after?
Honestly, probably. It was so long ago. You know, we probably had to catch a 5 a.m. flight the next morning or something. So I'm sure we were up all night and everything like that.
That's awesome, man. I wish I had more of an interaction with you at that point back then. 3 years.
Well, we're hoping to get back up there. I think I was actually just talking to Jay Spade last night. We were discussing about potentially trying to get back up there and seeing what's going on. So.
Well, maybe I'll put in a good word at the next board meeting.
Hey, I'm not saying don't try.
Booker Man Kevin. We're on the line with Matt Lancey at Outlaw Lancey on Twitter, Outlaw underscore Lancey on Instagram. Big show coming up June 25th.
Well.
He just announced him and Shane Taylor, first time ever. And they both have huge history in Wildcat Sports. And you said you've been there since the beginning. And I know this is like a super vague question, but like, who's your favorite person to work with in Wildcat since you've been there for so long?
that's a loaded question. Luke Hawks. No.
Nailed it. Tony, ring the bell.
Actually, you know, I wrestled some great people at Wildcat. You know, I'm always wanting to get in there with some new guys and see what kind of quote unquote magic we can make and everything like that. But, you know, going back to 2016, you know, I'm going to put him over as much as I can because dude's a hell of a worker. You know, Jay Spade, we had a best of five that turned into a best of seven. That kept going, and that man elevated himself every match. You know, he was kind of a newer guy coming in, and you know, that was the kind of my rite of passage to kind of move him up the roster and everything, get him over. You know, in the middle of that feud, you know, the crowd finally attracted to him, got with him, and then next year he became the longest reigning Wildcat Sports heavyweight champion. So, you know, I enjoy professional wrestling. I enjoy elevate who I can and getting in there and stuff like that, but don't catch me on the wrong day because I will beat your ass.
Damn right.
I got now. There's a weird tie in here, Matt. One man, Mike Dell. He trained old Fat Tits Tony over here way back in the day.
Well, we trained together. It was more they like trained a
you greenhorn.
Really? That's how you're gonna leave it?
But, I mean,
do you want to continue?
Yeah,
I mean, please. Mike Bell's former champion. You are just doing a podcast for 10 years here, Tony. So
yeah, but who's got a win over one man, Mike Dell?
You and Matt Lancey.
There you go. Mike Dell is beatable. He's only one man.
He's the man I took the title off first time.
There you go.
So, he's doing his one man Mike Dell one man challenge.
So before you joined us, I don't know if maybe you were in the queue and not listening. We were trying to decipher who you looked like.
Oh, he wasn't here for that.
No, right. I don't think I was there for that.
Who have you? Because someone Tony said you look like Brian Myers. I said you look like more of like a, well, now that I see you now in person, more of like a, you kind of, you got like a James Storm vibe.
Yeah, that's it.
Like,
that's so the one.
Who have you been told the most? Who have you been compared to the most in or outside of wrestling?
If
no, come, you know, if you want to stay in. Stay
no,
in.
No, we struck a nerve. He's got an answer for this one. I like
No, that. I have actually have two questions because it's kind of funny to me. You know, when I when I'll do the you know, we'll go places, or even when I've done some stuff with WWE and stuff like that, you know, I was always called Daniel Light. And you know, according to Daniel Bryan, I'm just like, I was doing this before him. Yeah. And I'm also much larger than him, but it's kind of funny. You know, I think Mark Henry called me Daniel Light, and I kind of just laughed because I'm like, all right. But I have gotten two of those that you've mentioned. I've also, you know, talking to a bunch of the older guys in the wrestling, you know, Tracy Smothers and all those guys. I've gotten a lot of Bruiser Brody and all that, and different things like that, and how I work and how I look. But, you know, it's a plethora of stuff. You know, anyone has long hair and a beard, you're going to get preference to somebody, right?
Yeah. And that was the question I kind of wanted to ask you before we got onto the WrestlePro tangent, is that for somebody that might not know who the Outlaw Matt Lancey is, who would you say you would model yourself after as a professional wrestler? Hmm. If there is one, unless it's just you.
You know, right off the bat, myself. But no, I do a lot of, I'm like a mixture. You know, I like watching a lot of the 80s wrestling, early 90s wrestling. I'm not as much flash as, I'm not in there doing these high spots and running around doing that. I'm gonna take you down, I'll beat you down. Every time I hit you, you're gonna stay down for whatever amount of time it is. You know, I model a lot of my different movements and stuff after like a Magnum TA. I do a bunch of, you know, how I move around is kind of an earlier Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley kind of thing. Try to model, and I tell all my students this, it's like, you know, you got to work, you know, how you move around the ring, how you sell and stuff. You know, I love watching like 2005 to 2012 Undertaker's movements in the ring, because he'll move his whole body around. Even if he's a 7-foot guy, he's moving everything around and trying to show you that pain, that emotion. And that's kind of stuff I bring into the ring. You know, I model myself after a Bruiser. That's my style of wrestling. If I catch you, you're in trouble. So you better try to get away from me. But I kind of try to bring my own swagger, personality, whatever it is, and own wrestling style into the ring every time I come in.
And I love that you mentioned that portion of Undertaker's career, because Undertaker always had so many different emotions and so many different movements, but like that era of Undertaker, he would put all of his body into like anything that he did, whether it was just like that one step, or whether it was like you know, old school, or whether it was like, he literally put everything, like you could see a different emotion in every part of the way that he moved. And that was such a unique part of Undertaker's career at that point, right?
Yep, exactly.
That's awesome, man. That's such a unique a portion of Undertaker's career to dissect on, and not a lot of people that we've talked to have ever mentioned that part of his career, and it's such a unique part of his career that
everyone wants to talk about the 90s to 2000 when he didn't do nothing. He just sat up. Just a zombie walking around. I was like, yeah, you wrestle like that, but no one's going to care.
Yeah, it's either that or it's like you know, American Badass, because it was the change. But like, no one wants to talk about Undertaker's like solid, constant main event run, like winning the big gold belt and all that entire era.
That era,
is so unique to talk about.
So Matt, you mentioned being a trainer, at the school. What's the most rewarding thing for you?
You know, we've had, you know, plethora amount of students come in. You know, we actually just have a new class of four, which is great. You know, you always want, you know, having four start at one time is a very, very great thing to do, because, you know, professional wrestling is a physical sport. It's physical on your body and your toll of your body and everything. So having a bunch of girls, guys, group pushing through with you is always great. You know, the most rewarding aspect of wrestling. I love professional wrestling. You know, I wouldn't be doing it still to this day. You know, I've actually had 4 ACL surgeries in the same day.
Oh, Christ.
Left knee. I actually went down in end of 19 after winning both belts. I was a Revolution champion and won the heavyweight champion. It was double holder. Literally 2 weeks after, I was at another show. Knee gave out. Setting up for a spear, went running, and then my meniscus got cut right up in my knee. And couldn't bend it. So I was in the ring, just kind of, well, that's not nice. That's not great. You know, did the match, went home, found out, oh, your meniscus is stuck in your bone. So they had to go in and cut it out. And in the process of them doing that, they had discovered that my ACL was probably about a hair strand to get connected. That's how thick it was, because it was just ricocheting back and forth in my leg. And they said that it could have held for another year. It could have snapped the next day. So the doctor went ahead and just pulled it out. Refilled my knee, put bone, you know, fillers, all that stuff. And actually, I was not clear. I was in the 19, and I was not cleared until June of 21 to get back in the ring. That's when I got back in the ring for our July show last year. That was my first match back.
Really? That match with Buku Dao? Was your first match back since the end of 19?
Yes. You know, I actually, and then the process, going back to the most rewarding aspect, is like the process was, you know, in the grand scheme of things with COVID and everything being shut down, that actually gave me enough time to actually rehab the correct way and not rush to get back to the ring or rush to do this. And, you know, I actually went through almost 10 months of rehab with actually one of the, an ACL specialist that took care of me every day for the first 3 months. And then, you know, I went to see her every day, every other day, and that turned into twice a week. And I was doing a once a week kind of checkup, maintenance, and having me do some much better things. You know, the first few times doing the surgery, you know, doctors don't know exactly what you're trying to do. They're just trying to fix you. They don't know that you're athletic or you're trying to do this, you're doing that. So actually going through an ACL specialist and bless you. Just going through all that, it's like it was a changing experience. And I'm actually at a point where my doctor even told me that I'm probably about, instead of having 4 surgeries, I'm about 1.5 right now. So I'm actually better than I was going into everything else. So in that process, I got to spend a lot more time outside the ring, as well as being a coach. Because, you know, you're a coach, you're trying to get all your stuff in and everything. So I got to, during all that, I got to spend outside the ring and watching all our new students and actually picking apart their movements and how they're doing stuff, how they're doing all the moves, how they're stepping, how they're selling, how they're registering everything. And that actually is the most rewarding aspect, because I pride myself in, if I can watch somebody enough times, like, you know, give me 8 times, 9 times, I can correct almost 80% of what you're doing wrong in that time frame. I can see what you're doing. And that's the rewarding aspect, is I know I can correct it. And then seeing them and their face just kind of be like, oh, that's what I need to do. Like, they, you know, a lot of times is you don't know how to control your body. You have to let someone else watch you, because in wrestling, we do a lot of stuff that you're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to fall on our back. We're not supposed to flip over and land. We're not supposed to do any of the crap we do. So your body's going to automatically stop yourself. So you have to let yourself go. And just seeing the reaction of these students when I tell them, hey, try it this way. And then they do it. You know, they fight you. Everyone fights you when you're told to do, hey, try this way. No, no, I got it. You know, whatever. Okay, I've been doing this. I've been in damn boots for, you know, this whole time. But, you know, seeing that rewarding aspect on their face, when I actually am able to make a breakthrough with them and they see it like, holy shit, that's how this goes. Okay, that's actually a lot easier. All right, well, let's listen. Let's keep going. Next move, next class, next everything else. So.
Are you surprised at the amount of, you know, training when you were breaking into the business must be 1,000 times different than what you're doing now? Is it different?
Well, you know, when I broke in, I was actually trained by Luke Hawks and Elena Jordan. So we kind of got our asses kicked every practice. It's kind of like, hey, you know, we're doing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, we'll do some stuff. Hey, Saturday practice just ended. I know y'all just, you know, you did this. Hey, let me give you a power bomb. Hey, let me give you this. So it's like, It's just a bump. It's just a bump. Yeah, bump. Okay, all right. I can't move for like, you know, 10 minutes after. That was Orlando loved to do that. Like, would just pick us up and slam us. He knew we could take the bumps because we knew how to take bumps. But like, it was just kind of like, all right, get up, next bump, get up, next bump, get up, next bump. And it's different, you know. But that's kind of how, it, you know, training evolves and everything.
Right.
We're kind of, you know, we have a strict regiment and everything. And, you know, when back when I was training, we were in a school with no AC. So those summers were brutal. You know, Louisiana weather is, it could be 95 today and it could be 61 tomorrow. And then in the course of the day, I'll shoot up to it, whatever it is. But we didn't have AC and I'm actually guilty, and I of my other coaches and stuff, and I'm, you know, telling the guys too, it's like, hey, y'all need a water break, tell me, because when we were training, we didn't get water breaks. We had to just keep going, then we'd have our water breaks after. So it's kind of funny, you know, they look at me and be like, hey, give the guys water. I'm like, all right, go get water. I'm not gonna be a prick to y'all, but you know, it's just, it's a lot different, but it's the same, you know. We had the same regiment at school, you know, since I started. But
what's the one thing that you would instill in someone that wants to get into the business, and maybe not a first timer, but someone that's been there for a little while, like, what do you still try to get into their head? That's maybe the most important thing for them.
A lot of newer guys or younger guys and girls and everybody and individuals in wrestling, even those, like you said, that have trained for a little bit, maybe have gone away, coming back into the sport and everything. It's not all about what you do in the ring with the big moves and running around and doing all this stuff and the crowd loving me and my ring gear. I like to instill in all our guys, and I'm big on that, is all those small movements, all those small interchange, you know, those different from one move to the next, those transitions, how you plant yourself, how many steps you take in the ring. Everything means something in wrestling. It's not just, I'm going to go do a big move and the crowd loves me. Yay. I give two shits about that stuff. Like, I want everything I do, I make sure it's done for a reason. Especially in wrestling, you figure out how you should move and how you're breathing and everything. I'm a bigger guy. I don't move as fast because I know if I try to move fast, I'll be keeled over in the corner on my knees, sucking wind, and that ain't gonna make anyone look good. It's gonna make me look like shit. It's gonna make everyone else look shit. But my big thing is instilling all those small, you know, how you hold, how you do a different hold, how your hands up, you know, are you ready to go? Like, it's just those small things that I'm always looking for. How many steps you take, how many, you know, all this stuff, your breathing, right, your noise, your reaction time, all that. I'm very big in all that. And I was drilled all that in my training with Luke and Orlando, and then, you know, being trained and working with Steve Anthony, Stevie Richards, Bob Holly, when Billy Gunn came, all these guys. You know, Bob Holly's another guy that I could call up and talk with him. He's a great guy. He, you know, he came in instantly. We clicked on, you know, he came in, was like, oh, you're the guy that's training these guys? Yeah, come here. Starts talking my head off. So it's going through all his stuff and, you know, imparting knowledge. I'm big on always listening to what anyone has to say, because, you know, if you're not learning, get out.
Yeah.
There's no point to be here.
I'm glad you brought up Bob Holly, because I was going to ask about him, and because he's such a polarizing guy. Like, you either love Bob Holly or you don't love Bob Holly. So
I mean, he probably kicked my ass by saying he's a great guy. He's a nice guy. I'll probably come and kick my ass for saying that. But he's one of those guys that when he speaks to you about wrestling and he opens up, you know, he really means it. Like, he's not just telling you, and then, like, he's only going to tell the ones that are listening and want to learn and actually retain the knowledge. He's not just going to keep repeating everything that goes on.
All right. So I have one more boring wrestling training question to ask, and then I'll turn it over to Matt and Tony here. Chemistry. As a trainer, how do you tell people to find chemistry, or does chemistry just happen on its own in a match? Can people force chemistry or not?
9 times out of 10, no. in training and all that, most of the time, you know, we have students at all different levels in their training, and most of the time we'll stick those in line with one another, how they're doing the moves and everything like that. And sometimes the guys that are on the same level do not work great in the ring together. It's just, you know, it's either you force it and hopefully it comes, or you just got to pair him with somebody else. And most of the time, and all those great feuds that we've had and everything with Wildcat, it was the chemistry built over time too. And that can happen, but it takes a little bit more in the ring time. And once you spend more time in the ring and develop how your movements and everything is, that's when it comes. I'll tell you right now, in the course of the training, not so much chemistry with the younger guys. you know, you try not to laugh at it, but I was there at one point. No. I know how it is, but
yeah. It is what it is. It's just it's learning. It's constant learning and trying to develop it.
A lot of times a lot of the newer guys they won't take. Oh, I'm here. You're not here. There's a level in which you got to train and what you will learn and stuff. You're just not going to get shot straight to the moon and you're going to be put in this match. No. That happens one in a million with genetic freaks that don't come in that often. If they come in, they're already in WWE. They're already doing their shit over there.
Yeah. We're on the line with the Outlaw, Matt Lancey, at Outlaw Lancey on Twitter, Outlaw_Lancey on Instagram. Give him some follows and check him out over there. Now, look, you're we've never met before. This is the first time we spoke. You seem like a real down-to-earth guy. You're well-spoken. I think we could have a drink together at a bar and have some chuckles, watch a game. How do you go from this to the Outlaw on June 25th at X-Rated against Shane Taylor?
That's I get that a lot with people. You know, a lot of close friends, family, even people that have followed my career. A lot of people don't see me like this. I don't do many podcasts and stuff like that. It's not that I don't choose to. It's just a lot of times a lot of people think I'm just this angry asshole walking around punching people in the face at no whim. I'm just walking around punching people in the store. I don't care. Fuck you. You know, like, excuse my language. I don't know if we can curse on this.
I'm all in.
You know, I gotten that before. People are like, oh, man, I thought you were going to rip my head off. What the hell is that going to get me? You know, it's, you know, I instill the same thing with the students. It's a switch. You know, the second you walk out that curtain to the second you go back in that curtain, you need to be who you are. I mean, point in case, you know, we talked to him before, but look at The Undertaker now. He's doing every podcast under the sun, you know, talking this, talking that. But for many, many years, he was just what he is. And, you know, it was easier back in the 90s. There wasn't internet and all that stuff. So you didn't have to worry too much about people posting stuff about you. But, I tend, and you know, when we go to the bar after shows and stuff like that, people will be hesitant to like walk up and be like, "Hey, Mr. Outlaw, here's a drink I got you. Hell of a match." And I'm just like, "Hey, man, thanks for coming out." And they're like, "Oh shit, you're a cool man. I'm gonna come back and buy you a drink." It's just, you know, at the end of the day, you got to have that fan support. And I'm a big staple at Wildcat and being that that guy that people come and talk to after. During the show, they ain't going to talk to me.
Right.
Afterwards, if I'm standing out there, they'll come talk to me. The kids will come up shaking. They want my autograph, but got to talk to the parents. Be like, hey, I ain't going to bite your kid's head off. Buy a shirt, though. But no.
Yeah, no.
Buy some merch. But yeah, it's all switch. It's all switch. You know, a lot of our fans know that when I'm coming out to the ring, I'm going to kick someone's ass.
When you approach Matt Lancey at a bar, what is the drink of choice?
You get me some whatever whiskey you want to get me. I'm a big whiskey guy. You know, it was a big joke going on. We went out. We were in Chicago. We were actually doing a show for Freelance. And I think it was myself, Jay Spade, Buku Dow, and Kurt Matthews. And we were out. It was actually my birthday at that point. Didn't need Facebook for it, though. It was my birthday. Coming full circle back.
We're getting back to that, by the way.
You know, I used to joke with the students, being like, hey, if y'all want to be nice to me and get me a gift, y'all should get me some Johnny Walker Blue Label. None of the students know how much that shit is. They're going to go to Walmart and all stuff, right? So we go to the bar. We're at, I forgot what bar we're at, and Spade gets me a Johnny Walker Blue, hands it to me. You know, it's in a cup. It's sipping. Sip on it.
That's sipping like a, on it and all that's like stuff. A $500 sip.
it's like a $40 or $50 drink in itself. Yeah. But, you know, the bottle itself is expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we're drinking. And then, Buku Dao comes up, hands me a shot and goes, hey man, you know, take the shot. You know, I shoot it. And I'm like, what the hell was that? He's like, oh, I bought you the same thing Spade bought you. I said, you bought me a shot of Johnny Walker Blue Label? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you didn't think a $50 shot was out of the norm? He's like, no. I'm like, all right. So I shot that back, and I was like, all right, I need a minute, because
yeah,
I want to sip on that. You don't want to be shooting that back.
But, if you're going to shoot Johnny Walker, give me a red or a black. Like,
yeah, you don't want to shoot the blue, but the blue. I was like, holy shit.
Like, but, I'm an Irish whiskey guy. I do like the bourbon whiskey. I like the old Jameson, if you will, or the Tullamore Dew.
I'm loving Tony's face in that when you put that.
Yeah, when he saw it. I tried to hide it as much as I can, but it's a holiday weekend, so you know
he loves showing off. Just like wishing his friends happy birthday on Facebook. He's happy to show the bottle.
No, how am I showing off holding this?
Really? Hold it up again.
Bragging?
Whoa, they
don't sponsor. This is actually embarrassing.
Y'all getting sponsors right here from this?
No!
We tried. We've tried to get sponsors out of alcohol companies or beer companies before. Hasn't worked out. They sent us, like, koozies and tickets.
Yeah, Twisted Tea sent us a keychain and a koozie. They're like, thanks for the support.
Yeah.
A big support there.
That's awesome, though. But I can't believe a shot of Johnny Blue.
Yeah, he's a bright fella. I love him. He's a bright fella.
Incredible.
Fuck! I had a thought, but now it's gone.
And I ruined it with the whole.
No, talk. I forget what I was going to ask. Here we go. Back to X-rated. 21 and over. Is it because it's in like a bar or they're like some boobies?
Well, I mean, you got to come to find out. I can't
wow
tell everybody everything.
If
but
boobies, that'll be pretty easy. Enough.
Well, you know, we did X-rated. We used to do it at one bar. It started as just we wanted to do a 21 and up show just to kind of, you know, we're a big like the ECW feel, the big bar fights and all that stuff. And we did it 1 year. I think for the first year I was actually injured for, so I got to watch it. Might have been a little drunk for it. Got to watch it live, and then kind of snowballed into it. Became an event every year that people just got, when's X-rated? We need to buy tickets for X-rated. We need to do all this. You know, we'll get the people that are a little upset because we're not doing a family show or anything like that. Not everyone can come, but we still got droves and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that come out to these 21 and up shows because they just want to get rowdy and see whatever the hell we have planned, whatever happens, you know, whatever it's going to be. We fight in the crowd, you know, actually, I did a bar fight with Danny Flamingo that was threatened with my wrestling license because of that match. Because we went around all the bar, went behind the bar, broke a bunch of glasses. I threw his head into a punching bag machine. I bowled on the lane with his, you know, bowling ball straight to his balls. Kind of used every aspect of the bar. And the owners and the commissioner was not very happy with me. So, got a little slap on the wrist for that one. But, you know, it's just 21 and up. That's just what it is. X-rated. It's probably one of the funnest shows we do all year just because everyone gets to kind of let loose and just come out and do whatever the hell they want, you know, under the law, under the rules of everything going on.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's one hell of a show. We're going to have more match announcements. I think what we might end up doing, just for a treat for everyone listening and as well as your podcast, I think for the next, I know you have Luke Hawks next week. You got Ryan Davis and Trevor Murdoch. You got Jay Spade. I think we're going to release a match on this podcast for y'all. Give y'all listeners something. We're gonna release it live on the podcast, and then we're going to put it up on our social media right after it's over.
Give y'all something.
For having us on, give the fans a little something as well.
Yeah. Well, we've always been big fans of Wildcat, big supporters, and the support has always been mutual. So it's
where's that at? Backwards.
That's what it's all about, man. That's really what it's all about is the mutual support. And Luke, I can't wait to see him again soon at some point. So
next week.
Well, yeah, but I'm not in person. Jerks.
I didn't say anything.
Show us the Jameson again.
Wait, who said I didn't touch it tonight.
You held it up twice. What do you mean you didn't touch it?
No, but I didn't drink any of it tonight.
Time. What is that, Jameson?
Yeah, a little bit.
Y'all about to get a cease and desist real quick.
Oh, brother.
No, Jameson
from Lameson? We're talking about the character from WWF.
Jameson, the manager. 90s,
Jameson.
The manager.
Oh, God. What an awful pull that is.
Shut the fuck up, Tony. There's some trouble.
I didn't do anything.
Matt, do you have a question for Max? I got one.
Oh, boy.
Like, is Matt Lancer going to ask me a question, or am I going to ask him a question?
Well, that would be great, but I don't think anyone cares about what you have to say.
what questions y'all got?
Real quick, just because, like, we're getting to know you just like our audience is getting to know you, so we want to, like, dive deep every now and then in terms of what made people wrestling fans. So, like, I'm not going to ask you what your first match was. I'm not going to ask you what this was. But, like, what, like, was the trigger that made you a professional wrestling fan, or were you?
That's the funny story on that. You know, it's the kind of the same old story, you know, watching as a young kid with my dad and various people. I actually grew up in a house full of women. I had two sisters and a mom. My dad worked out of town throughout the week, came home on the weekend. So whenever I could watch it is when he was home. I always get yelled at, or they would take over the TV, and I was the youngest. So I didn't get to throw my weight around. You know, because of that, you know, and if I did, I got in trouble, you know, but, you know, he come home, I get to watch it with him and everything. And oddly enough, when Wildcat actually started, I started in a tag team with Jack Ford called Rough and Ready, old tribute to the WCW days.
Rough and Dirty Dick Slater and Mean Mike Enos.
Yeah, Rough and Ready. But I was rough, he was ready, but he was approached in the gym by Luke in Orlando to come to the school. You know, he had an athletic build and all that. And we were good friends at the time, and he, you know, still good friends now. He's moved on and done stuff, you know, family, career, and everything. I'm still the one being dumb, getting hit with in wrestling. But he was like, hey, man, you know, they're doing this thing. We come in as a tag team, you know, it could be whatever. And I'm like, okay, you know. So I kind of just was like, all right, you know. I did sports in college and high school and college and everything. And I actually, you know, you talk to all the other past trainees and students and even Luke and stuff. It's like, I wasn't coming there I want to be a professional wrestler. I came in there to support one of my good friends. And oddly enough, after the first year, he left due to he wanted to pursue school and a family. He was about to have a little boy. And I stayed, you know. And it was the flip switch where he was on his way out, I was on the way in. And you know, after about 10 months, you know, I went up to Orlando, and Luke was like, "Hey, how am I doing in this shit? You know, how am I? You know, what's going on?" They're like, "Dude, it's like night and day with you with how you're doing." Because, you know, it took me a minute to learn all the stuff, you know, the moves and the movement, but ring psychology and kind of the mental part always came really easy for me, which is very hard to say for most guys. A lot of stuff is, and I tell all students this, I can teach you how to do any move in professional wrestling. I'll teach you anything. The psychology part, I can teach you psychology, but it's really, you got to meet me there, because you got to have a mind for this. I can't be in your head when you're in that ring and all that stuff. So I kind of got into training and first year of wrestling because of one of my close friends and Jack. And I'm the one still here. Me and Hard Body Harper, the last of the dying breed of that first class. He'll tell you, Harper's a funny ass dude, and you know, he still to this day impersonates all the guys we're in that class with, and just be like, "Hey, where are they at?" Just like, you know where the hell they are. He's a dumbass, but I love him. He's my dad. He's my wrestling dad. He's my manager. He's my dad. I call him Daddy Dad. But he'd kill me because I think he's only like 7 years older than me.
So wow. Tony's like 40 years older than us. So
yeah, column B, whatever. So Matt, let me ask you: you have any questions for us?
Oh, this is new.
Yes.
Oh, I'm asking y'all.
Well, if Kevin threw it out there, I figured it might be fun.
Why it takes so long to have me out? No, I'm just joking. No, I mean, like, I don't really have many questions. I appreciate y'all having me on the show. You know, I reached out and everything. I say, hey, screw it. I'll start off the Wildcat men coming on and all that stuff, and I'll be the first one to kick it off, because like I said, I don't do many many podcasts or many one-on-ones and stuff like this, and gets the fans to understand a little bit about me and how I am versus how they see me in the ring, where I'm just pure rage.
Yeah,
it's the simplest way to say it.
And in a world now in 2022 where everyone has a wrestling podcast, if we can get your name out there to our audience, that means a lot to us. And I hope that means a lot to you. I hope that means a lot to
appreciate that.
To Wildcat, because like people still do, like everyone has a podcast, right? Like, you know that. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we're still alive 11 years kicking and we can have you on to introduce you to maybe people that have never heard of you before or don't know exactly your story means the world to us. And that's something that we like to do here on this show. So any questions?
I didn't know I was going to be having some questions. I would have wrote some down coming in.
It's all good. That would have been a great way to close the show, but I'm an idiot. So
it's just a list.
Matt, let me ask you this. I know before we started the show today, you had your to-do list for the show. Do you have the question on for Mr. Lancey tonight?
You want me to ask him what was the last time he shit his pants?
Yes.
In wrestling or in general?
Oh, in general, for sure.
In general? Probably don't remember. I can safely and confidently say that I've never shit myself in wrestling, as that is more common than a lot of people are aware of. But maybe shit my pants, huh? 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the fact that you have to think about it is a good thing. Sadly,
I'm not up there yet where I'm constantly being like, oh, gotta run.
It's not constantly, but two of the three wizards here have run into some roadblocks, we'll say.
Yeah. No, that's the problem. There are no roadblocks. I've reset my clock about 4 times already this year.
I shit my pants last time, literally inches from the toilet bowl. Literally inches. It was. And that was after going on the show and bragging about that it hadn't happened in such a long time. I jinxed myself.
Well, didn't one of y'all have to go to the bathroom beforehand? Was that a false alarm as well?
I think Kevin had to pee.
Oh, no, yeah. Kevin had to pee before.
I don't know if he was here for your fudgy shit story.
I did not hear the fudgy shit story.
Well, I texted you guys. I'm like, I'm going to be a few minutes late.
I was there for that. I was there for that.
This is the and Matt Lancey never did a podcast again.
Yeah. He ruined him for
podcasts. I'm out.
Peace.
Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure. @Outlaw Lancey on Twitter, @Outlaw_Lancey on Instagram. June 25th, Southport Hall, 200 Monticello Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. Sold out, but Wildcat Sports has released 50 walk-up tickets. They're available at the door. First come, first serve. Doors open at 6, bells at 7:30. Tickets are $25. You can get more info at wildcatsports.com. So fucking look. Go get some crawfish, whatever the fuck y'all call them.
Crawfish,
down there.
Not crayfish.
Like, get in line at like noon. Get a couple tall boys. Bring your fucking cooler, and just camp out in front of Southport Hall.
Shoot some Johnny Walker Blue. Why don't you?
Fuck
don't
yeah, shoot. Why not?
Hey, if anyone reaches out who's listening, you bringing Johnny Walker Blue to there, I best damn believe I'll sit out there with you before the show. May not make the show, but I will be out there with you.
You might not see me wrestle, but I will be there with you.
That might be the first time I shit myself in the ring.
Nice. Let's do it. X-rated. Look, if you're in the Louisiana area, New Orleans, Matt Lancey just announced him and Shane Taylor, and he said every week there's going to be an announcement on the show. Luke Hawks is next week. Ryan Davidson and Trevor Murdoch the week after. Spade on the 20th. If this is where we're starting, Matt Lancey and Shane Taylor, this is, it's only going to get better.
That's pretty.
That's a hell of an opener right there.
I don't know how you go
above.
Yeah.
We love Shane Taylor.
Well, you're going to love me kicking his ass.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyway, let's segue into, we have this show coming up June 25th, but as well as we have a right back to back, we're doing a July 30th this show. It's going to be open to all ages. It's going to be our first family friendly show back since, the last show in July. It's actually 1 year later, but those tickets are going to go on sale say within the next couple weeks. So love everyone can be looking out for that. You know, we're gonna pack that house out too. There's gonna be no limit on those ones. You know, there's a limit on this show. There ain't gonna be no limits on that.
Nice.
We're just gonna pack as many people as we can in that building.
Awesome. Well, we're excited for it. And we can't wait to see this now. Matt Lansing and Shane Taylor. I mean, you just give me what do they call it? Not an order. What's a fancy word for
hors d'oeuvres? Hors d'oeuvres?
Hors d'oeuvres? I want to say La Bouche, but that's a band from the 90s.
Creme fraiche?
No.
You're going to be his lover? What are you? What's wrong with you?
Oh. An appetizer?
Not La Bouche. It's
the douche?
We're not fancy people here. No, not La Douche.
I'm in a basement.
We're just going to leave it. I'm giving y'all a little peek at what we got in store.
It's like a soupçon of what's to come. I like that.
That's a soupçon. Look
there
at
you go.
What is a soupçon?
Soupçon. Yeah.
This
Google
has been
it.
A soupçon.
Fuck yeah. No, this has been amazing.
This is a great time, man.
This is more than a taste. This was a fucking full 3-course meal right here with Matt Lansing. This was awesome.
Yes.
How Matt, since you never do podcast, how did Luke sell you on this? Was he like, you guys better do this to promote this fucking show? Or was it just
he's a good guy? He's like, we know
you're gonna hang up and like this is on the internet forever, dude.
Oh well.
I mean, it was great. We had a great time, but I don't know, like
I'm enjoying myself. It's not that I don't do so many of these. It's just, I guess it's more of I've probably only done probably a handful of these podcasts. You know, he reached out to me. He's like, hey, you know, I want you to have it on with these guys and stuff. I was like, let's do it. I don't care. You know, there was a point where maybe early in my career, I didn't want to do so many just because I tried to protect whatever character or whatever I had going on. But at the same time, it's like, I don't care because I can back up what's going on now. I could back it up in the ring, so I don't give a shit anymore.
Fuck yeah, I love it.
No one's gonna come up to me and be like, "Oh, you sound like an asshole." I don't fucking care. Step in the ring with me and see what happens.
Fuck right. Yeah,
but
this was a blast. Man.
This was a great time.
It's been awesome. An absolute pleasure. When you're ready, like you know, anytime you want to come back on, slide in the DM. We don't even have to talk about wrestling.
We can talk about anything. We do like a bonus episode or something like that. We could talk about.
This is what we'll
whiskey.
Do. We'll send you a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. Right. We'll send you some Johnny Walker Blue. Then we'll go in studio and we'll get a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. And then the four of us will just drink Johnny Walker Blue and record it, and see if it's even audible
until we pass out.
That'd be like a 10-minute podcast.
Oh, we got to do like 4 or 5 just shots right away.
Oh, we can't shoot it.
No.
Buku Dao? No. Buku Dao. More like Blue Dao.
Well, I'll give you one more story and then we'll get off. There was a funny little story we did in 2017. What year was WrestleMania Orlando? 17? I think so.
Yes.
I think so. We all, you know, a bunch of us got booked. We went out to Orlando. We actually had a few matches on the Thursday, Friday, and then we actually had the weekend to, you know, do some dumb things. So we went to this one bar, and there's probably about 7 of us, and we kind of did the game of, hey, everyone's going to do a round. You pick what we want to drink.
Oh, that's a dangerous game.
Well, there's also right after when everything, you know, in 2017, when they had the Orlando shootings in the club and everything, there was kind of cops at every door. Right. And one of our camera guys had to go up to the cop and just say, hey, you know, look, we're from New Orleans. We get a little rowdy. Just tell us to leave. We're going to get a little loud. We're not trying to cause any problems. So he's like, all right, yeah, no problem. So we go down. The bartender's, hey, what y'all want? Someone said lemon drop. I was like, whatever. Do a lemon drop. We just kind of shoot it, go. And we're like, all right, let's go next. And the bartender just kind of looking at us like, yep, y'all okay? We're like, no, this is how we drink in New Orleans. So then we're looking at the list, and it was my turn to pick, and I'm looking at them, and there was the Four Wise Men shot.
Four Wise Men?
Well, we dubbed it the Four Horsemen shot the rest of the night, but it's, you know, Johnny, Jack, Jose, and I can't remember the other one, but whatever it is.
That's why I think it's the three Why? I think it's only Johnny.
There was four. There was four in it. I don't know. Can't remember what it was.
Oh, Jim. But it wouldn't be Jim Beam, though, would it? Jim?
Okay. I think so. Whatever it was. But we had one.
Jose's like the Paul Roma of the group, huh?
No, that'd be Jim Beam. If you're doing Jim and Jack, Jim is the Paul Roma.
So we did the one, and we didn't move from that the rest of the night.
Wait, so you said 2017?
Yeah.
That was Russell. I missed the beginning of the story. I'm sorry. Was it
that Russell? We went out there during. We were out there for WrestleCon and I was, WrestleMania weekend.
I was there.
And for we didn't get off that shot the rest of the night. It started at 6 p.m. A lot of the guys didn't make it through. You know, one of our guys kind of came at me and was like, "What the fuck? When Luke's not here, we listen to Matt, and Matt's making us do some dumbass shit. Get more drinks." Like, and we just started going. I remember us going to, we were, I think, 2 hours late for the WrestleCon the next morning. We had none of our stuff. We had to go find our tables because people took our tables because we weren't there. It was kind of a funny interaction we had with Brian Cage and his wife. She kind of called us all out for being hungover beyond belief. Everyone's just, we just look like corpse.
I was there that entire week. Everyone was drunk. All the
and
time.
We, well, there was 110 shows that weekend.
Yeah,
that fucking weekend was 110 shows, and there was probably only five people at some of these shows.
Yeah,
they were just going crazy in the shit. But yeah, don't ever take that shot, please. me and seven other guys, please don't ever. If you see that on a menu or a, don't do that. Don't do it to yourself, please.
No problem.
And we actually, I think we played virtual reality after taking all those shots. And I believe when I woke up, I thought about it, how the fuck did they let us do this? And I'm reading over the consent because, you know, we're signing shit and putting our emails in. Read over and said if we broke something, it was a $15,000 charge just onto the card or whatever to bill to us if we broke anything. And I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, for the love of God, I did not break something. Please, 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 please. Didn't get a bill. So
that's awesome.
Holy shit.
I would love to know the name of that bar because I'm pretty sure I was there, but that's awesome.
I have no, I can't remember the name. Yeah. That was a blur, but yeah, that was a little fun time. So.
But. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, Matt, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. We look forward to the 25th X-Rated at Outlaw Lancey on Twitter, @Outlaw_Lancey on Instagram, WildcatSports.com, and cat is spelled with a K, WildcatSports.com. You can get tickets info. If you can't make the 21 and over show, Matt Dattels, July, they're going to do a family-friendly
July 30th.
Show. So keep
all
an eye on
details to come.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Matt, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure, man. Anytime you want to come back on and shoot the shit, you're more than welcome. This was a 100% blast.
No problem. Thanks, Matt. Time. Thank you all.
Thank you, Matt. Have a great night.
Peace, brother.
You too.
Take care, thanks, man.
All see right.
y'all. Matt Lancey, the Outlaw.
Dude, what an awesome time that was.
So awesome, dude. Like, especially when like you get to like meet somebody that you've never met. Like, to me, this wasn't like really like a wrestling show. It was just like, hey, you're a cool guy. Let's talk.
Like, Kevin, you're a cool guy. I like talking to you each and every week.
Tony, you're a tremendous individual, despite what Matt says about you.
Tremendous? What did I do to deserve that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I did. Probably.
What?
I deserve that.
Deserve it wasn't what? For you. It was for me.
Oh.
I said, I no, because I said despite what Matt said. That was like a joke. Like, I like you despite what so-and-so says right. about you when so-and-so doesn't say anything bad about you.
Oh.
Well, you know what I mean? That's like the point of the joke. Like, I don't care what he says about you. I like you.
Do you guys say bad things about me? Is this like something? Now I feel hurt.
No, Tony, that's the... Well, we'd say that you hate guests. That's the extent of it.
That's not it, but that's the truth.
Well, Kate said, fuck all y'all. She doesn't like any of us, so there you go. Well,
she's she has very astute observations.
Oh, why would you put this up? Tony does not hate guests.
Tony that's hates bullshit. Guests. Tony, that's the only shit that we talk about you is that you hate guests.
That's ridiculous. That is so ridiculous.
Why we talk? I don't
talk. I talk so much shit about Tony.
You know what I notice every week? This is weird. Like, see my face, a little bit of color. Watch how pale my hands are compared to my face. Isn't this the weirdest fucking thing? Like, look at this.
Well,
like every time I put my hands by my face, it looks like it's somebody else's hand because my face is so much darker.
Tony, if you would have sat for 11 years with your like that, I would have never ever noticed it.
But it's like it weirds me out. It's like, why are my hands so pale? Like, it's so weird.
It's the lighting.
Yeah, I need that white girl light. I have it upstairs. I haven't set
the how come you didn't use it, bro?
Yeah.
Bro.
I don't know.
Broman Reigns.
We got, and Matt mentioned it, a huge month. Luke Hawks next week, Ryan Davidson and Booger Eater on the 13th. Jay Spade on the 20th. Trevor Murdoch. I'm sorry?
I said I can't wait for Trevor Murdoch. Not to disrespect any other the guys, but Trevor Murdoch's a guy who I've watched since he debuted in WWE. So that's
I'm so really excited to talk to him. This new attitude he has in the NWA, it's almost completely vanquished the thought of him eating his own boogers.
Yeah, I don't like mind. I don't like it.
So I'm excited for that. And then June 27th, Bryce Donovan of the Shook Crew, he's joining us. So
that's right. Creator June Pro is Champion. Just
shaping up to be a hell of
Sean Donovan's little brother.
No.
Boom. All right. True or false?
False.
This would be a good one.
Who are you asking?
Both of you. Sean Donovan once had a show on the Shining Wizards Network.
True.
Kevin?
Don't know.
Matt, bonus points if you remember the name of it.
Oh, gripping with a touch of wrestling. A drink of wrestling?
It was a drink with Gino, but you're on the right track.
Dipsy's was it was a drink with Gino. A veteran
was something like a genuine taste of wrestling.
Yes, that's right there. That's all I'll get to is a genuine
something like that.
Yeah.
I had a bottle of wine for the logo. I remember that much.
That's what I thought. That's what I went with a drink with Gino. It was definitely a bottle of wine.
Yes.
It was a...
But good call. For somebody who doesn't listen to the Shining Wizards Network, Matt remembers a lot. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
I like to think I remember a lot.
Well, there you go. You're a smart guy.
I have a long-term memory, no short-term memory.
Matt's a smart fella, and Kevin's a fart smeller.
That's right.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Well, I didn't shower today, which is really making me uncomfortable.
Oh, fuck me, dude.
Why would you tell us that?
Yeah, really.
It's one day. I shower every day. I shower twice.
Why would you tell? We're just going to make stinky jokes now. Why would you tell
us? Yeah, you're the worst
people to tell that to.
I don't stink, though.
Yes, you do.
You opened the wrong fucking box today, Kev.
Relax.
It didn't have a bar of soap in it either.
You did this to yourself. Maybe your dad's computer smelled you, and that's why.
You know what? You know what's funny, guys?
Back after this?
No, after the short-term memory, I did shower today. And I just don't remember showering.
Wow.
It was like, literally a 10-minute shower, like a in-and-out shower just to get refreshed.
Wait, a 10-minute shower is an in-and-out shower for you?
Yeah, I'm a good half-hour guy.
You what?
Oh, my son does that shit. He's in there for a half an hour.
What are you doing, jerking off in the shower?
No.
Half an hour?
Nope. Jesus. Not even doing that.
Half an hour?
What the fuck do you do for... Dude, 30 minutes. What do you do for 30 minutes?
Yeah, that's a long time, dude.
I think. It's where I do my best thinking.
In the shower, not on the shitter.
Not on the can?
Nope. In the shower. Wow. It's refreshing. It's warm.
Matt, how long is your shower?
I don't know. What's a Cinderella song? 4 minutes, 30 seconds?
Yeah, 6 minutes, I'm in and out. And I get everything.
Probably, give or take.
Everything.
So it depends if I have my... Dude, I got the Sasquatch soap.
How is that any good?
The pine tar? I love the pine tar.
Pine tar? The shit they put on baseball bats and balls? No,
asshole. The smell is pine tar. It's fantastic. I love it. I love it. I jump in there, shower... Soap myself, get all soapy, 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 soapy. Da, 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 da. Listen to some music, sing along. Then I hit the head and shoulders pump. Boom.
scrub a scrub a scrub a scrub. That gets in my beard. And then we rinse, and then I got to take one of them drain catchers that catches all like the fuzzies and shit, and I take the hair out, and then I'm done. And the shower's done.
There you go.
Look at that.
So, yeah, I'd say 6-7 minutes. If I've had a long day, I'll spend like another two in there.
Well, here's the thing: if I'm like in the morning going to, I take 2 showers a day. So if I'm going to work in the morning, that's not a half hour shower. That's the 6 and 7 minutes.
You take a half hour shower every day.
Just about every day, yeah.
That's crazy.
That's fucking nuts.
It's where I reflect. It's where I think. And I don't do the other thing, so I don't even bring that back up again.
You don't bring your wrestling figures in there and have like fucking shower matches, do you?
No. Fucking puts all his cards.
I don't. Worst case scenario, that's where, believe it or not, on a Monday, that's literally where I'll go to like the wrestling dirt sheets on my phone.
In the shower?
You take your phone in the shower?
Oh yeah.
Wait, so you're reading your phone while you're showering?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. And you have like an iPhone 4. That shit's not even near waterproof.
Well, I got nothing to lose.
Why are you taking, what are you gonna fucking miss in this? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Absolutely nothing.
You take your fucking phone in the shower? That's insanity.
No, yeah. It's not if you know what you're doing.
No. It is.
You protect it.
You're,
how?
No, Kevin, you're supposed to be in there taking a shower and unwinding. Being on fucking Facebook and social media is not unwinding.
Did I say Facebook or social media?
What are you doing with your phone in the shower?
Did I not just say research for the podcast? Did I not just
say that? You fucking research in the shower? This is insanity.
Not to mention what you're doing for the environment, the True Prince of Pro brings up. You're wasting water.
So that's a good point. That's like the thing that I worry about the most. But
you're so worried. You take a shower every day.
I think about it every so often. I don't think about it every day, so the point where it becomes like, oh, you got to stop doing this.
All right. Now let me ask you guys a question.
Show prep in the shower.
We mentioned Kevin sitting down to piss last week.
All the show prep, man. I don't watch pay-per-views in the shower.
Oh, God forbid.
Could have fooled me. You bring your phone in the shower. This is all new to me.
This is great stuff.
Pissing in the shower, yay or nay?
Nay. Yes. All right, so can we go to Matt now, please?
Listen, if the drain is somewhat clogged and the water's sitting there, no. But if the drain is moving smooth, fine. Yes, 100%.
I'm with you guys there.
I'm not standing and piss.
No. Yeah. And I make sure the faucet or the flow, whatever it is so far like up that the water will take longer to get to the actual drain. You know what I mean? Like, so it's
make sure nothing's
to make sure nothing
tub.
Like, yeah,
I got you.
So it gets, so like there's no water actually touching me and I just dive right in.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah. But he was right about the wasting water point, which makes me nervous, but.
Makes you nervous. The fucking water police aren't going to show up at your house. The water bill will, but not the water police.
Yeah, well, that's the point. That's what I meant. The water police. I didn't know the word were water police.
The water police.
Now, where are the water? What jurisdiction do the water police?
I know you're the one that's fucking nervous about it. You fucking nervous.
I meant nervous about the environment, not nervous about the water police.
The water police. Whoop whoop. That's the water police.
You're clearly not nervous enough, though, if you're still taking half an hour showers.
Well, I didn't today.
Yet.
I won't. No.
You'll take a third shower?
You got to start for.
I only took one today.
Took 2 showers every day, but now.
Yes. Today was different. My dad was coming back from the airport. I didn't have time to take a second shower. I cleaned the house.
You didn't want to smell nice for him?
Well, I did shower, but it was the shorter version.
Well, what's a short shower for you? Today, I hope it's the extreme of the regular shower. Regular shower, short 30 minutes. Short shower, 90 seconds.
I took the shower at around 6:15, so I can get down here at around 6:30. So 10 minutes.
Okay, I mean that's fair. 10-minute shower, I would think, is about the average. No,
that's 10 minutes is good,
perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, but I usually like to shower like during the night before work, and then like the pre-work shower is just to wake myself up. So like the shower the night before is to cleanse, And then a shower before work is to, you know, cleanse as well, but just refresh and wake up.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
But yeah, but the wasting the water part is something I got to think about.
Think long and hard about it during this commercial break, Kevin.
There you go. Cox.
I mean, Shining Wizards Network. Go check it out.
I was throwing it to Kevin to do his thing.
Oh, are we playing the commercials?
I wasn't sure.
We're not playing the fucking commercials. No, man, but one of us can talk about this goofy network that we have.
There's nothing to talk about. Go check out the network. There's great shows. There you go.
Back after this.
Patreon. Yeah. Patreon.
We should still do that, by the way.
Wait, can I go get a drink then?
Yeah, can I go?
Drink. I'll just talk about whatever.
Can I go take a shower?
No.
We don't have a half an hour, Kevin. Oh, we can't do without a half an hour. Tony, do you want me to do the Patreons first?
What do you mean first? Like,
do you have the Patreon list? I can go get a drink.
I don't have the Patreon.
I got the list. Let me do the list first. Then I'll go get a little drink.
All right, then I'll get a drink. Then. All right, so you do the list. Happy birthday, Mark. Go
full, boom, solo layout. You boys can go get your drinks, and take your phones in the shower and do whatever weird shit you guys are doing during the Patreon read. Kevin's still here. I can see him. You can't, but I can.
I mean, I can still talk to you if you want.
I didn't know if you needed to get a drink or go pee or something because it's a break time.
It is break time, but I want you to have a break too.
I'll get a break after the Patreon read, sir.
Giddy up.
Before we dive into All Elite Wrestling Double or Nothing and Down the Aisle and Impact and the NWA and whatever other craziness we want to talk about. But if you're listening to this, you're watching this, you're enjoying this, and you want to support the podcast and you got a couple extra dollars, $1 a month. $1. If you do the math, it's like, I don't know, 3 cents a day, 3.5 cents a day. I don't know. I'm not good at math. But $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And that dollar gets you mentioned every week on this show. So you're going to get mentioned next week when we have Luke Hawks on. In 2 weeks, former NWA World Champion Trevor Murdoch and Ryan Davidson will be on the show. We're going to mention your name in the same show as them. And so forth and so on. $3 a month. Get you bonus content. We put out some bonus content monthly, watch alongs, crossword puzzles, or sort all sorts of good things there. And then $5 a month, we'll plug your social media, your website, anything that you'd like us to. That is, of course, within reason. And then $10 a month and above, we are reorganizing our Patreon perks for the 10 and above, and those perks may include you being able to sit in with a guest and ask a couple questions, pick a Wizards Rewind, be a Can You Beat That competitor, maybe you'll even get to talk to the committee, who knows. But at this time, we want to thank those that support us over at our Patreon: Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards; Mr. Manny Carrazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards; Danny Rusinello at Not Danny Russ on the Twitter machine; Anthony Rusinello, fellow Mark Order podcast member; Sean Toe and Sean Calejo, no relationship, they're just listed together on the list; Kate Hensler at Miss Kate Fabe, she is crushing it over there at Fightful. She's doing Sour Graps every Tuesday night. She's doing Mark Order podcast every Wednesday night. She's doing the SmackDown Rampage Fightful post show every Friday night. And then you never know. I think she popped up with Alex from Sour Graps last night and did an AEW Double or Nothing post show. So follow Kate at Miss Kate Fabe. And don't be a jerk. Don't talk shit to her. Don't send her nasty DMs. Be a better person. Let the girl live. Macri, no relationship to the K. J. G. Maddie Mellinger. Christine Friesendorf. Mark Parloni.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Kenny Hossie, the Scotch Drinkmore. Jay Kopp, big couple pump in the house. The only thing worth listening to on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks podcast. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock at High Five Tom. He's doing Marking Out, the ROH Revelry podcast. Plus, he's doing all sorts of other crazy podcasts. He did something with Kevin. I know he wants to do something with Tony and myself. So check it out. It was a great interview, the Kevin one. So definitely go find that. Michael Hammond, Matthew Birch, the True Prince of Pro. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at True Prince of Pro. He is like he's like our stat guy, our statistician. He's been with us for a very long time. Braden Bergen at Berg Xer Zero. He's the LeBron James of Mattel Elite Collecting, Elite Figure Collecting. Brandon Haney,
Carrie Cowling at the Carrie Crush on the Twitter machine. Ryan Schlong at Mark Order Pod. Asian Joe. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Horseman, makes experimental music at Harvestman Records 856.bandcamp.com/music. Mike Peterson at LOL Mike Peterson on the Twitter machine. Mr. Rob Humphrey. I Dunk Biscuits. Our friends over there in England. Or our friend. I like to think he's more than one person. I like Fred. Awesome. The Daily Smark, dailysmark.com, at The Daily Smark on the Twitter machine. They help you find the latest wrestling news along with up-to-the-minute daily podcasts. Don't forget, we deliver YouTube videos to keep you in the loop. And that's where you want to be, in the loop, people. Roll.
Fuck and yeah, last, Roll.
And last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
Kevin, I know what you mean.
Oh, baby.
All right, I'm going to get a quick drink, and then we'll jump into all the wrestling stuff for the week, fellas. Well,
that's what we do, baby, right?
All right, I'll be right back.
We drink and talk wrestling. Go get it. Go get it. Go get it.
Bye, Matt.
Matt has left the show. He's going to take a half-hour shower, and he will be back in 30 minutes.
Kev, can I tell you what I did today?
Can you tell me what you're doing right now?
Well, this goes on to what I did today. So we had some burgers that I threw in the Ninja Fryer. And my son was like, it's our last day home. I'm kind of in the mood for some pizza. So I told him, I said, nah, we got burgers. Let's make burgers. But unbeknownst to him, I ordered Domino's and I got us a pan pizza with some nuggers. And just as the burgers were coming off the grill, the Ninja Grill, the indoor one, which is cool, by the way, put them on the plate, put them on the buns, and ding dong, pizza's here. So I got a little leftover pizza.
So wait. So you ordered the Domino's after you confirmed that you were making burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So your son ate burgers and pizza.
Well, he had the burger and a slice of pizza. And then for dinner, a couple hours later, he ate more pizza. So it was like a two-meal deal.
All right. I mean, I can't argue with the logic, I guess, in terms of the fact that I thought this was all at one time. I thought that the burgers and the pizza were happening at the same time.
Well, it did. But like when it arrived, he only had one slice of the pizza just to give it a go. But then we saved the pizza for later.
What kind of Domino's is that?
This is hand-tossed pan pizza.
Yeah, it looked like there's like a layer of crust that extends further than the actual pizza itself.
No. If you look at it, it's got like the cheesy kind of like stuff on the end.
Listen, I'm not gonna hate on Domino's. I love Domino's. I love Pizza Hut. I love Papa John's. I love all the crappy pizza that's out there.
There's nothing wrong with the crappy pizza.
No, but you just have to be in the mood for the crappy pizza. Mm-hmm. Because you know what you're getting with the crappy pizza.
And if you're traveling around this world and you see a McDonald's or a Domino's at some city that you've never been in before, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
Delve into the local culture and local cuisine a little bit.
Like,
Matt's going to Baton Rouge or New Orleans, he's not going down to have a crayfish that you can get out of the Passaic River. He's going for some of them crawfish.
He's going for
some of them clam bakes. He's going for all that good shit.
He's not going to
Domino's down. Fuck no.
He's surfing turfing it.
When you go on these adventures, these food adventures, these excursions,
po' boys,
just check out Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives. They have
They have
a thing where you could like see if you're near any of the things, and you can go check it out.
The only thing I'm worried about is whether or not it'll be too busy for me to eat on the schedule that I'm on. Know what I mean?
Well, there's only one way to find out, Kev. You just go.
That's a great point. But when I go out, I usually just end up Uber eating. Like when I go away, like I just end up Uber eating from the hotel because I don't trust anything.
But what do you order? Domino's.
McDonald's.
Taco Bell. McDonald's. I got Taco Bell the other day and I forgot to include the hot sauces. The worst experience of my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Worst experience of your life.
Yeah. I put some of the Frank's Red Hot on it, but it's not the same as Taco Bell hot sauce. It's It's tough. It was tough. It was heartbreaking, actually.
I think the most disappointing was when you don't get sauce at Popeyes. Like, I don't get, like, the chicken. I get the chicken strips.
Yeah, me too.
And, like, if you don't get the sauce for the chicken strips, it's like, why bother?
Yeah, why do anything? And if you get a Papa John's pizza and you don't get the garlic sauce.
Oh, fuck yeah. Garlic sauce rules.
What are you even doing with your life?
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on.
Here's what I would like to know.
That's right. What's
that? If you're picking pay-per-views.
Oh, fuck, really?
And you're not winning. Uh-huh. What am I doing with my life here?
Oh no! Did Matt have a bad time this weekend?
You didn't do the numbers, T Dog.
No, I didn't.
It wasn't a terrible time. But it wasn't a great time.
It's time for Double or Nothing. Pay per view pick extravaganza thing.
The last night was AEW Double or Nothing. If you live in a cave and you didn't know, and we had picks, 13 matches, huge card, huge,
4 hours and 40 minutes, huge.
Yeah, fuck that noise.
See, now I have no complaints about the length because I enjoy the product.
Oh, you like?
I also watched New Japan, so this was like a Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, but you said that you haven't watched AEW in a while.
Well, I haven't watched AEW. It's not because I haven't. Like, I won't.
I understand what you're saying. I got you.
I enjoy the product, right?
Enjoy.
I'm not sitting down for fucking Hell in a Cell. Sorry.
No, I got
Hell in a Cell could be 15 minutes. I don't give a shit. It could be a half of a Kevin Shower. I'm still not watching it.
That is a half of a Kevin Shower.
Would you watch a Kevin Shower?
What?
Would you watch a Kevin Shower for half an hour?
I mean, what's how much on Patreon?
I'd be curious. I'd watch a Kevin Shower. I'd love to know what goes on for that half hour.
Yeah.
I want to see him maneuver around his fucking iPhone 4 in the shower for half an hour.
I'll tell you right now exactly what
No, don't spoil the surprise for
them. I'm not videoing myself.
I know you're not, and I'm not asking you.
Why would you video? Live stream, bitch.
Let their imaginations run wild. Don't give it away for free, bro.
Yeah, sure. Dude, come on now. Live in a fantasy world here. Don't take it away from me.
Yeah, even if you put like the big black bar over Kevin, I just want to see half an hour. That's a long time. Yeah. It's an episode of Bob's Burgers.
Wait, the big black bar over Kevin or parts of Kevin? Because I would imagine you would need two big black bars. Listen to me.
I think he would be comfortable with. Yeah, you're right. I think he would be comfortable not being seen. So I'd have to say two big black bars.
It looked like a silhouette of Q-Bert. Kevin packing that donkey.
Just want to see the arms.
Holy shit. All three of them?
These hairy arms? These guys?
So, pay-per-view was last night. AEW. Kevin's right. It was a long show.
Fuck yeah.
But we had picks.
Oh boy.
No. Oh boy is not a bad thing.
We all did pretty well.
I did not. Yeah. You know what? I don't
feel. No, Matt, you had the worst of it. But
I did. Tony and Kevin each went 10-3.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And I went 8-5.
Okay, that's not a terrible night.
I had myself at 11-2.
Let's open.
And I had Tony at 10-3. But I could be wrong.
I'm opening the app. No.
I thought the only ones I had wrong were Top Team and.
Meow.
I thought I had Top Team wrong, and I thought that I had.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We all lost Darby Allin.
And Ruby. No, I had Kyle O'Reilly.
Let me double check this.
Uh oh.
I could be wrong. You're right.
Uh oh.
I thought I only lost Ruby.
I was wrong. Kevin had Kyle.
I wonder how many times Matt's been wrong over the years.
I would tell him. So I felt really good about this show after I watched it.
I got to make an adjustment here. My apologies.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
No, it's not. It's a very easy fix. It's a very
easy fix. I'm not. Yeah, no one's throwing shade or anything. It's just the numbers just didn't add up. That's all.
Wow. Uh-oh. Right, let me just adjust this here. Let me hide that for a second. Edit this.
I thought I was 11-2. Tony was 10-3. And you were. I actually thought you were. What do I have here?
Wait, what did I get wrong? Now I'm curious. What did I get
wrong? I'll tell you exactly what you got wrong.
Uh-oh.
You got
here.
The the Jericho match, the big smash nonsense.
Oh, fuck him too.
You got the Darby match wrong.
Fucking Darby.
You got the Young Bucks, Hardy's wrong.
Fuck.
And that was it.
There's and you had the Hardys and Kyle O'Reilly. Good for you, man.
I had the Hardys.
And he had the Jericho Association.
Fuck them.
But Buddy picked Ruby Soho to win.
Soho.
Yeah, I really thought that like the work that they've been doing to try to like rebuild Ruby. But then once I saw Adam Cole's gear, I was like, all right, so I had Adam Cole winning as well, right? So we all had Adam Cole winning. You had Samoa Joe. Matt, you had Joe. But once I saw Adam Cole with the pink and black gear, and then I saw Britt Baker with the pink and black gear, I was like, oh, it's going to be both of them. And I didn't think about that before the show. That probably should have been a thought process that came into my head that they would have them both winning because everyone knows that they're together and this and that, and it would be a nice little feel-good moment, even though they're bad guys. But I just thought Ruby Soho, after that match on Rampage with Chris Statlander, which was awesome, I thought that they would maybe try to do something with Ruby Soho. And it just didn't happen.
Let me ask you this. I didn't see it, but I heard that the crowd kind of like was behind Statlander and really like didn't like the fact that Ruby Soho won. They like booed her a lot.
On Rampage.
I don't know. Yeah. Was that?
Yeah.
That
they happen? Were 100% behind Statlander, but it's the AEW crowd. Like Russ, they're so split in who they want to root for. Like it's just, and neither one is a bad choice. Cause I thought that Ruby Soho. All right. So in that finals match, right. Or the semifinals match between Statlander and Ruby Soho, which I watched live. Great match. I was hoping at that time that it would be Statlander and Britt Baker. Right, because Statlander is back, rejuvenated, kind of separated from best friends, cuts a promo about how she's had friends and enemies and she's not letting anything get in her way. So I was like, wow, this could be a jump off for Statlander. But then once Ruby Soho won, I was thinking to myself, oh, you know what? Ruby Soho needs the same thing. She's a bigger star, she's a bigger name, but she still needs to get back to where she was when she first came in. So that, and then Britt Baker's made, right? Like she'll be a star no matter who she loses to, no matter what. So I was hoping that Ruby Soho would be the one that would give her a loss eventually. And, you know, other than Thunder Rosa, because that, you know, that booking hasn't been incredible either. But so I really thought that Ruby Soho would win, but you know, Britt Baker is the face of the division. So God bless.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, I know the past couple pay-per-views, there was always like one that I look at, and I'm kind of like, well, I kind of wish I could have had that one back. I still would have picked this up and down the same way that I did same way. I wouldn't have changed any picks. So I would have stood with the 10-3. On my picks.
I would have probably see, here's the thing though. And this is only coming from after the match happened. If I had to take one back, it would have been Sammy, Ty, and Kazarian. Because I did not see the way that this was going to go. And the fact that there's two things here. It's twofold. It's that Kazarian and Sammy clearly don't get along, which I didn't follow in the storyline at all. I didn't realize that they hated each other, other than maybe like the skepticism of like breaking into Top Team and stealing something and sledgehammering something. So I didn't realize that was the point of the story that they were in. I would have taken that one back 100% if I had known that. Then after the fact, the promo that Paige and Sky did was like, all right, so yeah, you know what? Sometimes programs have to end. Like, how long can this program go on?
That program needed to fucking end.
Yeah.
I just want to go. So I've adjusted the standings. Kevin, I'm sorry, Tony sits in first place, 72-32. Kevin is nipping at his heels at 71-33. I am where I always am. In third place, I'm 10 games back at 62-42. But I have news for you guys.
Oh, no. Are we picking New Japan Katsu?
No, Tony. No. But we have to pick two WWE shows this weekend.
What's the second one?
NXT In Your House is Saturday. Hell in a Cell is Sunday.
Yeah, I love it. But I'm going to show this from Kate real quick. Britt absolutely didn't need this. Having ranted play her down, Ruby, in an Owen jacket, all to have her lose. I agree. I agree with
Kate. Kate. CM Punk did the same shit when he fought The Undertaker, and he still lost. So there you go.
I'm just saying, I agree with in this particular situation. I agree and that I thought Ruby Soho.
You know what? I don't really care about Ruby Soho, and I think a lot of people feel the same way.
I don't think you don't care about Ruby Soho. I just don't think you care about the women's division. No, if you cared about the women's division, you would care about Ruby Soho.
That's not true.
Or how she was booked.
That's not true. I care about the women's division. I could give less of a shit about Nyla Rose. And where's Penelope Ford been, by the way?
You got to figure.
Yeah, but where is she? I need Kate's doppelganger on my TV, goddammit.
Kate could be your Ford.
All right, I'm gonna try and rein this in here. All right. There's a lot to talk about, but first,
oh really?
Well, there's 13 matches, so of course.
Oh god,
we're not going to go through every match.
Can we have an AEW three Tony, count and just be done
eight,
with it?
It's 8:30, Tony.
Tony, relax. This is a big pay per view, but I think the biggest story that comes out of this is the MJF situation.
It's all a work, bro.
You think it's a work?
100%, 100%. Tony Khan wants to be evil Vince McMahon, and this is going to be his play to get on TV. This is what's going to happen.
What do you mean? He's already on TV.
Oh, he wants to be a character. He doesn't want to be like the guy that's fucking.
No.
Hey, guess what? We're making an announcement.
No. So then he's got to stop the. He's got to stop that if he wants to actually be an entertaining character.
This week on AEW Dynamite, Tony Khan makes a sandwich. Tune in at 8:30.
Is that Shivani? Because that's a great Shivani. That's an incredible Shivani. So, you should do that more often.
Tony, you think the MJF thing is a work? For those not, I don't know, barbecue. If you were barbecuing all weekend or not paying attention to the sheets or the news or whatever, MJF has been very vocal about his contract status, and he has openly said that when the time comes, he would take more money to go elsewhere. And then he was not at the meet and greet Saturday. And then the rumors started circulating that he had booked a flight out of Las Vegas.
Flight was booked for him.
And then it came to that he was not on said flight. And then the reports all day yesterday was that he was not at the building. The promo was taken down. The promo for the match was taken off of their YouTube.
But was put back up.
It was back up. It was on the pre-show, and he was in the opening match against Wardlow, and the reports that I saw today were that he showed up at the building, had the match, and he left.
So here's what I'll say about the situation is that whether it's a work or not, whether he's pissed or not, whether it was just to build his bad guy persona, there was, in my mind, knowing the little that I do know about Max and how he was trained in wrestling and how he was brought up, there was no shot in hell that he was not going to be there tonight or last night. There was no chance. He was going to do the right thing. And so whether it's a work or he's really legit pissed and he'll leave, or if he's handling it, no matter which way he's handling it, there's no way in my mind, again, this is just me talking, this match was going to happen the entire time. Like, I never had a doubt in my mind, because Max is too, again, success might change people, but he was never the kind of person that would do that. Never.
Now, let me ask you this, Tony, since you think this is a work, what do they have? If it is a work in your mind, Tony, what does AEW and MJF have to gain? What do you gain from this?
Because people are concerned. Like, you think MJF's going to show up on Wednesday? You think he's going to be back? We don't know. We got to tune in and find out if he's going to appear. Is Tony Khan going to say something about it? Are they going to talk about it on commentary? Somebody else going to bring it up?
That's do you fun. Think it? Do you think more people bought the pay per view to see if he would show up?
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. I don't think the pay per view was completely sold on CM Punk and Hangman Page. You know,
to me, it would be. You could also make the argument the opposite way. Is like, if I don't know he's going to be there, why would I? And I'm buying it for this match that was arguably the hottest storyline in the company, and I don't know if he's going to be there. Why would I buy this show?
Because you want to know he's going to be there. Look, I mean, ultimately right now, AEW's kind of in the funk that WWE's in. They have their audience, and their audience just isn't growing. So,
yeah,
they're catering to that audience right now anyway. Does it bring in new eyes that people are going to tune in? No, they're probably not. But holy shit, MJF might stick it to Wardlow. What are they going to do? Is Wardlow going to come out and call him out? Like, what's going to happen?
Well, that's where I think, like, that's where I feel like MJF, like, realized, like the real life MJF realized, like, he was not going to do that to Wardlow. He was not going to do that to, I mean, I don't know what the contract deal is, but like, if he didn't show up, could he get sued? I don't know anything about that, but I know he would not have done that to Wardlow, because this was the story. And up until tonight, MJF was a willing participant in the story, which had only one true payoff, which would have been Wardlow destroying MJF. Maybe not to the extent that he did, but like, this was the only payoff of this match, regardless.
You think the only payoff was him getting zero offense in?
No. Wardlow winning.
Yes, and we all picked Wardlow. I think everybody knew that's the direction they were going.
I think you could have got away with a borderline squash, not the super, super, super duper squash, because you could have let Max get up a little bit from it. If it was just, you know, fight, MJF do some cowardly stuff, sneaky stuff, and then Wardlow hits maybe one or two power bombs, then done. But there were a lot more power bombs, and that seemed to be a message. So that, in that aspect, to me, that seems like it's real.
Now, Keith says, "If it is, it's to Pillman levels, the working situation."
Yeah, like they're working the boys, they're working. Here's the thing. Room, now, everyone,
I know Pillman worked that angle because he didn't have a contract.
No, right? He got out of his contract. He got out of his contract.
I don't think Tony he's signed till 2024. He signed a 5-year deal back in 19.
Yeah, so he's got at least another 18 months on there. So here's what we have to decide about what Tony Khan is. Is Tony Khan the kind of guy that says, I'll let you go because you're not happy here? Or is he going to be the kind of guy that says, I'm not going to let you go because I know what you could be somewhere else? But here's the thing. As much as I love Max, I don't know what the heck he could be in WWE.
And I think that's the thing, right? People are intrigued. Like, look, you cannot fault MJF. When the time comes, and if he has done what he has done in AEW and he says, I'm going to try something else, I think he is smart enough to know he's not going to be able to go to WWE and cut half the promo that he cuts in AEW.
But is half an MJF promo as good or better than anything that...
I don't know, because he...
It's got to be, right? Is half an MJF promo... Half an MJF promo is better than any WWE promo, other than maybe like a Roman Reigns or now even Scott Cody maybe or Seth Rollins. Would you rather have
a Coca-Cola or a ShopRite Cola? Because I think that's the difference. Because here, Tony Khan is playing with house money, right? It's dad's money. TBS, they're doing their thing. They're saying shit every fucking chance they get on the air. Like, we're going over to USA, and they're stockholders. Like, it's a different story. JJ Rogue the Can You Beat That champion. Half an MJF promo is Miz.
That's Miz with one Z.
And Miz promo is
two O's.
Is a good promo. So
yeah, I mean, that's, look, there's no doubt that he can cut a hell of a promo. It's just,
but what would MJF be in WWE? I don't see him being MJF in WWE. Like, I just don't see it.
He'd probably be a completely different character.
I don't think they would want him.
He'd be Jacob Maxwell. That would be his name.
Unless they truly like believe like his size and his energy and his cat, he would be what they listen. They just let go of Malcolm Bivens, who is a tremendous promo, a tremendous character, who's a manager, but relatively, I can't compare the size, but listen, they wanted Adam Cole to be a manager. Would they want MJ? Eli Drake is a freaking manager now.
It's a lawyer, sir.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Or no, I get agent. Your point, Kevin. It's just.
So, like, what would MJF be in WWE? I don't want to take that chance. You are a superstar where you belong in the rogue top dog company other than WWE. Like, you are like the top guy there. And you
have, maybe so, he does not feel treated like that.
That's okay. So that's another question. I don't know what kind of money he's making.
This is going to be an extension of the whole Wardlow MJF story, where MJF is going to be in the Wardlow role and he's going to put Tony Khan in the MJF role and he's going to say, I never wanted to be here. Why do you think I had Wardlow with me to make this place tolerable? But you won't let me out of my contract. You've got me trapped. I'm a slave to AEW. He's going to put Tony Khan in the bad guy seat, and that's where the story's going to go.
Wait, so
you don't think they could play this out for 18 months where he puts Tony Khan in a bad light and then makes Tony Khan the fucking heel figure of the company?
Come on, are you talking about on screen?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the thing, though. Like, who's going to cheer MJF?
People love MJF, and if MJF says
they don't.
Dude, Tony... no, I was in Long Island, bro. That place was...
Nah.
Yeah, well, that's Long Island, though.
But that's, you're still getting an arena full of fucking people. People love MJF. He's a fucking great character.
They love him on the internet. They don't love him in the buildings.
Because that's the gimmick with him. He doesn't want you to love him, so people go along with it. But if he comes out and says Tony Khan is not this wonderful guy that you think he is, and that he's keeping me trapped, he's holding me down, he won't let me out of my contract because he knows he's got me by the short hairs. And he's going to fucking run with it that way.
But then what was the whole point of? See, here's what I don't like then, because that means you have Wardlow as this guy that just defeated the most dastardly heel you have in the company. And now all of a sudden, this dastardly heel at some point is now a babyface who's going to have to at some point interact with now your upcoming top babyface in Wardlow. Like, he has to still stay a bad guy. He has to be bitter and jealous about what happened. Not jealous.
Yeah, but he could be bitter and angry about what happened. He could be bitter and jealous at Tony Khan. He doesn't have to be best friends with Wardlow. We've seen the
80s. No, you're right, because I was thinking Shawn Michaels Diesel.
The 80s WWF was the best at it. Piper's turn at 3.
But it'd be way too soon if it happened like
Wednesday. Well, he fucking got stretchered out last night. Yeah. So I don't think you'll be seeing MJF for the foreseeable future.
What I think is going to happen, unless MJF just doesn't want to be there, they'll breathe, they'll talk. And again, I don't know Matt. I don't know MJF very, very well. But like, thanks, Sonny. If I knew the kind of kid that he was when he started and how he treated everybody there, like, then I think that he'll do the right thing regardless.
So this is from Mike Johnson. The belief among those we've spoken to today is that while there was some sort of agreement made to get through Double or Nothing, nothing has been resolved regarding the core issues between the two sides. We are told they are more likely to sit down and try and work something out now than they were a few days ago. And then Fightful Select reported that MJF and Khan had a sit down. We should make this clear. At this point, we've not determined whether this aspect is real or a work. And when we asked, no follow-up answer was provided. which was a first throughout this situation.
All right. So it's like a labor negotiation. It's like in sports. It's like you meet, you try to negotiate, you work things out, you talk, and just keep the lines of communication open. MJF did the right thing by showing up. Like he of did course. Like and I mean, it was his obligation. I mean, the FanFest stuff you could, you know, pick nits on. It stinks for the fans.
Yeah, but you can write that off. Him and he doesn't show up.
Yeah, but number one, they got their money back, and number two, it's MJF. He's a fucking dirty, rotten heel. Of course.
Yeah, but like, if you're fuck, look, we've all. I mean, I can't speak for you two, but I get fucking excited for shit, right? If I'm fucking think I'm gonna meet Jay White, and then he decides he's not showing up, man, I'm fucking bummed. Yeah, I'm still there. Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll meet a couple other people, but man, I was fucking souped to get my fucking picture with Jay White or MJF. And Kate says they didn't get their money back.
No, they tried to either refund or transfer to
other talent.
Other talent, I think. So if
if this is an AEW thing and they're not giving money back, well, that's fucking shame on AEW.
Yeah, but it's probably the process is probably like, I mean, I don't know. It's probably
trust annoying. The process.
That's right.
Yes.
But I don't know. I don't know if Kate's saying that they didn't get their money back, then I'll take her word for it. She
said they were told to go see other talent.
And they would be
hit the bricks. Like fuck
your $100 is credited to you going to see like the Young Bucks or
yeah. Brandon. So here's the thing now though. If that session that MJF was there for and the only other talent is, you know, not MJF level, that could possibly stink.
Sure, like it's a fucking bummer, man.
Yeah.
If I go to meet Bret Hart and they're like, no, go fucking meet Brian Blair. I'm like, no, thanks. Kick rocks, bro. Yeah. Give me my fucking
fuck you. Back. You'd go meet Brian Blair. What are
you're right.
About?
I would, but that was just the first name that came to my brain. Leave
and
me
if
alone.
It was the choice between that and not getting my money back, I would of course go meet Brian Blair. But if I had the chance to meet Bret Hart and then they're saying it's Brian Blair or bust, I would cause a freaking stink and try to get my money back for not being able to meet Bret Hart.
Asian Joe says, I wonder if the FanFest had a card subject to change disclaimer when advertised. 100% it did. Guaranteed.
Probably.
Read the fine print, nerds.
Yeah, but I this is just a legit question, not like a critique. Do the conventions have that?
I bet 100% they do. It's somewhere written deep. Tony's a fucking...
It's got to be, and I'll tell you what though, I do agree. When I went to Queens, just for the only purpose was to go meet Bruno Sammartino, and I paid good money for that shit.
Yeah,
I would have been pissed off.
Yeah, well, here's the thing: what it's probably maybe not card subject to change. It's probably like tickets are non-refundable, or something like that.
Probably,
right? Yeah, it's a good call. We're not going to go through the whole AEW Double or Nothing card. If you really want an in-depth look at that. I should be on the Mark Order podcast Wednesday night, so you can check that out.
Oh, Matt making a guest appearance.
Well, Matt, this is all I watched this week, so
no, that's fine. Look, we still got Down the Aisle to do, and I know it's late, so we're probably just going to jump into that. Maybe Tony will hit us with some NWA stuff, but Kevin, give us some of the things that you really enjoyed from AEW Double or Nothing.
We talked about all right, so I enjoyed the show.
Right.
Everything was super fun.
No, but I didn't have any real super investment. This was like the first AEW pay-per-view where I just didn't feel like I needed to see it. But I bought it, and it was fun. But I'm telling you, man, someone's going to die in that ring at some point soon. Because there was a lot of scary stuff that happened.
It's probably going to be one of the Hardys, to be honest with you.
I'll knock on wood right now that they don't, obviously, but dude, there was Ricky Stark spot, Darby Allin spot. Jeff Hardy did not look great.
That's what a lot of people have said, that Jeff Hardy is really looking showing his age at this point.
This was like a tale of two Jeff Hardys. He like seemed out of it for a lot of the match, but then ended up finishing like a freaking brick house. Like,
but you see that awesome. that's the other thing too. Like when they brought in Jeff Hardy, now all of a sudden, like every time you see him on TV, he's got to dive off of something, jump off of something. You can't let him keep doing that. Jesus, he's like almost my age and he's been doing this for like 30 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like fucking that shit takes its toll on you.
But that and even in the Jade match, who I think Jade is incredible. There was a scary spot in that match too. Some of the stuff just didn't click. And we talked to the Outlaw about chemistry and it's just like, man, like, I don't know, like how many times people worked with each other overall. Kate, and I get your point is taken tongue in cheek, but
no, she's trying to say I'm an old man. That's what Kate's saying.
No, I thought she was talking about Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, but I conflated Jeff Hardy's age to my age. So Kate's like, oh, he's almost 87. Yeah. Haha, Kate. I'm going to take my cane and fucking hit you over the head.
Even if she was talking about Jeff Hardy, point taken. He's older, but then just do something else. Like, figure out another way to have a match without needing to, like, be, like, where you can't even stand and you're in the corner.
Yeah.
Like, not outside the ring, like, in your actual corner where you would get the tag. You're just laying in the corner while the match is going on.
He can easily do twists of faith. He could do his, like, the double foot to the midsection with the leg drops and all that.
It's tough to watch, especially if you're going to keep – if you're going to keep teasing the fans about the match that you think they should get, then – what, Matt?
I love every bit of this. You want to know why?
Why is that?
Because it's the exact way I feel about Ric Flair in his last match. And guess what? The nostalgia tards, it's sold out.
All right. So here's the thing.
Sold out.
All right, Kevin, I'll let you take this because Kevin's got you.
Jeff Hardy's going to do what Jeff Hardy wants to do.
We understand, but
this is one match for Ric Flair. This is one time, and it's probably going to be a six-man.
Here's the thing. He's 73 years old. It's not like Jeff Hardy's not just going to hang his fucking boots up tomorrow.
We get it, but Ric Flair is not doing swantons and fucking twists of faith and leaping over the top rope, diving to the outside.
It's the same thing. Jeff Hardy's going to do this until he is crippled, paralyzed, or God forbid, dies in the ring.
Well, and
it's in his blood. The same thing with Ric Flair.
Yeah, for that stance, I agree with you. Yes, Ric Flair's got a fucking pacemaker. He should not be taking him.
Yeah,
it's a miracle that fucking Jerry Lawler still does this with a pacemaker. He's in the same boat.
All right, so here's what I'll say to counter that a little bit, just because, you know, why wouldn't, if we all agreed on everything, it just wouldn't be fun.
That's a Phil and Tony podcast.
Like, have you? Yeah, I haven't seen a Jerry Lawler independent match. Not one since he died, almost died.
I think he takes one bump. I think that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So if Ric Flair at 73, like would I stop like my dad from going out if he wanted to go shoot a few hoops? Like, would I stop him from doing that at 73? Would I stop him? Probably not.
I mean, but if he's going out and he's just throwing free throws or trying to make buckets and he's not posting up
What do you think a Ric Flair match is going to be?
Here's the thing, right? J.J. Roach says, look, Flair won't be jumping off a ladder on the chairs. At a certain point, AEW has to do a better job protecting their talent.
But that's 100%.
No, that's 100% accurate, by the way.
But they're not going to Jeff Hardy and like, hey, do the hits. Jeff Hardy is he's been in the business for 30 years.
Yeah, but
I don't want to do this.
But the problem with AEW is, and you'll hear from other people that go there where they're like, oh, it's a breath of fresh air because it gives everybody a chance to like do what they want to do. No, if Jeff Hardy says, I'm going to end it with the swanton and this and that off a 30-foot ladder, somebody's got to say, no, you don't fucking need to do this. Stop. Yeah. Somebody's got to tell him. You don't put your foot down, he's going to fucking do it anyway.
Do the whisper in the wind. Do the, you know, the swanton. Do your bound, 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 bound.
Maybe this is it. Like, maybe this is his last fucking hurrah.
No, it is. It clearly is their last
hurrah.
Maybe
this is the way he wants to go out.
But then that's fine. Who am I to tell him not to? Well, but I'm just saying, I didn't mean that Jeff Hardy was going to.
No, like, look, every time I see Sting doing something and they set up tables, I fucking cringe.
Yeah.
I got super nervous about the Darby Allin dive to the outside. Matt, I got super nervous
about one where his feet got caught and they kept trying to throw the replay.
Yeah, at the first point, I actually thought it was a really cool spot, and then I realized something went wrong. Like, I thought it was like, oh, he just did like a cartwheel kick through the ropes. How does that work? That's not what he was going for. So that made me nervous. The Ricky Starks almost
landing on his freaking head made me nervous. It's not ballerina. That's true.
Kate says it's not ballerina.
Here's the thing, though, right?
But there's a difference, Matt. You're right.
No, but like, here's because I, Kevin, I when he fell outside the ring, I was like, oh my God, he just came back from a neck injury.
Yeah. That's what you got to remember.
Is he so fucking good? Like, still at 40 years old, I can't tell. Are they that fucking good at making it look like it fucking hurts that much?
That's a good point. I don't think so. Because if they were that good, then the refs wouldn't run out and immediately check on them.
I mean, but that's your thing, right? That's not even a ref. That's a human reaction, right? Like,
did you see a point in the match, in the Hardys match, where the doctor actually went to go check on Jeff?
Yeah.
He's on the outside of the ring. Jeff is in that corner, like I said, but not outside of the ring.
Who put the face mask on MJF? Oof.
Wait, what?
The fucking oxygen thing? That was a bit much.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing. I don't know. I thought I knew how oxygen masks work because it was literally just over his nose and not over his entire mouth and nose. But I could be totally wrong, but I'm CPR certified, so I thought that's where you would kind of put them. But could be wrong about that. But yeah, it's just like it was a fun show. Here's what I'll tell you, I didn't like it. If you want to move on from this, I have no problem doing that to go down the aisle. But that Jericho Appreciation Society Blackpool Combat Club / LAX stuff, that was a tough watch.
Really? I fucking loved every second of that.
It was a tough watch in the beginning. I didn't get why they had the music playing as long as they did. Like, I don't know if that
made you don't love Wild Thing?
No, I love it. But here's the turning point that I absolutely loved is when Jericho actually ripped the soundboard. Yeah, so that was all right, so that was great. And that made but the entire time I'm thinking like, well, how is Moxley losing? Because if this music's gonna be playing the whole time, he's not losing.
Sorry, Kev. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine. Oh,
but Kay said Big E's career may be over because of a bad suplex, guys. Draws is in a wheelchair because of a blown spot. Like, it's wrestling, man.
Kojima can't walk anymore. Fucking Hayabusa can't walk anymore.
Hayabusa's dead, bro.
Well, I understand, but
like, it's just
no. He died. Like, he's
no, I know, but he was injured.
He tried, and yeah, he just slipped on the ropes. Like, it's wrestling. Like, shit happens.
To see it happen so much in one night is tough.
Yeah, because nobody in the back says no. Nobody says why not do something different.
They're professional wrestlers. Like, this is their job.
Yeah, but so, they don't have to fucking try to kill themselves every time they go out.
That's
there.
Where we are with wrestling.
Not in the NWA, we're not.
And what?
Not in the NWA, we're not.
You tell that to your world champ who thinks he fucking tore his bicep, buddy.
Yeah, well, fuck him too, stupid fucking going off and doing fucking indie shots. Good for him. Hope Nick Aldis sticks it up his ass.
Wait.
You better hope homeboy shows up.
You're criticizing Matt Cardona for doing indie shots when the companies that he works for are Impact and NWA?
Yeah, he's the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. You don't see Nick Aldis doing fucking GCW.
What are you, a fucking mope? Like, what are you?
Not a mope. I stand for good wrestling. Not that fucking jackass with his 45 hardcore belts. Fuck him and his hand and his torn bicep. How do you like that?
Are we just, here's the thing. Are we just older? Is that the thing, right?
Because probably.
We loved every second. We loved every second of ECW.
Yeah, but dude, even during the 90s, people were dying every fucking week in wrestling.
Sure, it was awful. But bro, 99, you're going to give me Masato Tanaka and Mike Awesome with unprotected chair shots? I was fucking all in. I didn't give a fuck. If they couldn't whip their own ass the next morning.
I think there was a
stand. One night stand was probably the fucking, it was probably the best match on the show.
Dude, there was a chair shot on Dynamite, I think. It was either Dynamite or Rampage. I think it was on MJF from Wardlow or Sean Spears on Wardlow. Wardlow missed and Sean Spears hit MJF, if I'm not mistaken. And it was a completely unprotected head shot, like chair shot.
Are we just older? Is that the thing?
Look at this. Mike Awesome fucking killed himself. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. I 100 look. I watch tons of New Japan.
if you tell me Naito and Ibushi are going to have a match, I instantly am fucking nervous because these guys go balls out. And all it takes is a Hayabusa slip on the rope, an apron bump gone wrong where these guys are fucking paralyzed or worse, dead. But is it 40-year-old Matt, right? Are we older?
Yes.
And we think about these things versus 20 years old, and I want to see fucking Masato Tanaka's head in my lap.
It's just it's just like anything else. But it's we're getting older. It's just like anything else in society, and the jokes that we made then or the things that we did then, they're not cool now. This is not cool now some of the times. It's not like what I mean by cool is it's just not right.
But I think comparing wrestling from like the 80s when especially you guys were really young, seeing it change to the 90s, that, you know, like we didn't realize how bad these guys were hurting and how bad they were getting hurt until a couple of years later, when a lot of these guys were hooked on pills because they couldn't take the pain anymore. Yeah. A lot of these guys were killing themselves because they didn't know what to do with themselves anymore. That all started coming out later on. You know, yeah, exactly. So all this crazy shit started coming on after the fact, after all this stuff. Look at all the guys that are dead from ECW. Look at all the guys that are dead from WCW. A lot of people are fucking dead and gone. And it's all, a lot of it has to do with these guys going in and out every night, busting their asses, doing fucking crazy shit, and then popping pills to get through it and just to do it again the next night.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to speak to that. I don't think like Ricky Starks, after he has a match, is going back to his hotel and popping pills.
It's a different animal now.
Yeah. So, but I wonder if the mentality is still the same in their heads that they need to do what they have to do now instead of prolonging their career and working safer. Like that's like the big like cliche in wrestling. Don't work safe, work smart. Is there some weird line?
Work smarter, not harder.
Work smarter, not harder. So will that lead to maybe a less entertaining product than Tony Khan wants to produce?
Maybe. Right. Well, like Kate says here, AEW wrestlers, they wrestle like 25 days a year. That's also
a good point.
Yeah, but that's not a good thing either, because if you think about it, if you're not in the ring, you're not getting better. You're not honing your craft. Yeah. So if you're only working like twice a month, that's why these guys are making lots of mistakes on like easy things.
No, but I think her point was that it's not the, and I don't want to speak for Kate, but I think her point was
I get the point.
It's not the wear and tear of the 300 days.
Exactly, but going on the completely opposite direction, you need to keep working to stay at that level, to keep getting better. Not everybody in the ring is
we don't know that they're not. A lot of these guys do indies,
right? But you can't.
I
think a great point is they've essentially traded the 250 days a year on the road with the pills and the booze to a quarter of that. But very risky, risky. Well, that's spots.
And that's something that we can't discard is that the risk that these guys are taking are just like nuts.
Also, we've been to AEW shows, right? Like, those holy shit moments are awesome.
They're great, but it's just.
But
tough.
It's not at the forefront of your mind. When you see an awesome spot, you're like, I hope they can get up. When you're watching at home and the cameras are everywhere, the Ricky Starks bump scared the shit out of me.
Me too.
I was like, holy fuck, this dude just came back from this neck injury. And then he was not in the ring for a while. And my mind went to the worst possible place. Like, this poor kid is fucking
dude.
Dumb.
Then he took the freaking, the spot was it Will Hobbs, and Will Hobbs came off the ropes, he got back up and took that.
Yeah, it's back to my point from before, like are these guys so good at making me think, right? Are they doing their job that well?
It's a good question,
right? Because he finished the match and he walked out, and I haven't seen anything today that said Ricky Starks was hurt,
but that could also be adrenaline.
And yeah, but usually when you see that, you'll get some kind of,
and it's not
post scrum like Ricky Starks was hurt, like we didn't hear anything, which is a good thing, I guess.
No, I know that's definitely a good thing, but it's not like what could have happened to him because he is kind of like the Big E thing. They took Big E out immediately, so the fact that they didn't do that right away
it's like, is, I guess, positive, but at the same time, like you don't know, like the adrenaline going. It's like sometimes you get into like a car accident, right? And you say you're fine. Then 24 hours later, you are fucking like you can't move.
Right. You got a concussion. You're all fucking mangled.
So you never know. So to play it on the safe side, I mean, yeah, I get it. You want to finish the match. I get that. That's the business. And I'll never discredit anyone for wanting to do that. But man, there was some scary stuff. And it's, to me, I love AEW. It's my favorite show. It's literally my favorite show. But they need to, last night made me seem like, even like if you want to go back to a wrestling perspective, they need to do better at like getting people invested in the show. Cause I've read like the dirt sheet reporters that like, were just like, and I hate that. I'm sorry to use that term, but like this, there was, a lot of these matches popped up out of nowhere. A lot of these stories just weren't like, there was no investment in anything. Even like your top story, CM Punk and Hangman Page, was just not, this was like, this was the one that was like the least most like, I'll do it, but I'll buy it, I guess, but because I have to watch it, and I wasn't gonna, and I didn't go up to your house, Matt, but so I still wanted to watch it, so I bought it, and it was fun. I watched it twice. I watched it last night, late last night, and I watched it today, and just didn't, wasn't the best effort, but it was still very, very fun, I think.
And we'll wrap this AEW thing up real fast because I know we want to do Down the Aisle, but I loved. I thought the Hardys and the Bucks was fun. The House of Black six man was sick, and the fucking finish with Tony's girl was awesome. The Julia Hart shit with the fucking her eye,
yes.
Awesome, awesome storytelling. I love this. Look, I know the build may not have wet your whistle, Kev, and I unfortunately have not been able to watch weekly with Dynamite. The story that Punk and Paige told, I thought was great. And the ending, the way it ended, I fucking loved it.
Right. And listen, I thought that Paige and Punk each like tore a quad or tore a calf or did something in that. Because there was a lot of scary moments in that match, too, that weren't high spots either. So to counterpoint what we were talking about, high spots, you can get hurt doing anything.
Yeah. The but women's match was...
Yeah, I do want to say that the Kate thing, Kate posted again about how Thunder and Serena was awesome, which it was, but I didn't care. Like, I don't think there was no chance Serena was winning that match.
Yeah, there's always a shot, right? Well, that's the same. Why do you watch the WWE? You know, Roman's not losing on in your house. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's for a different podcast.
Fair enough.
I thought the Owen Hart women's finals was flat. The whole Owen Hart thing, it dragged. The shit with Martha was atrocious. Fucking hat, I wanted to remove that hat from her head immediately.
Did you see her dance back in the aisle? Did you see that? Did you catch that?
The only thing I enjoyed about that was the belts. And Tony, I don't know if you saw the belts. They pay homage to the Stampede Championship belts. They're beautiful belts.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. But I don't know, man. This whole Owen Hart gimmick. My whole thing, honor Owen Hart. Fucking stop with the tournaments already. We got to go through this every fucking other week. There's another tournament.
The tournament's over. We got a cup. They get their name on it. It's great. It's no different than the fucking Opera Cup. And you sit through that bullshit every December.
It's once a year.
And this will be once a year, too.
As opposed to the 17 other tournaments they have every year. Fuck off.
Tournaments are great.
Tournaments about everything.
Yeah, they're taking off the New Japan booking. Tournaments are great.
Yeah, wonderful. Made. Great.
And the titles aren't defended. They're just prizes.
So then why did they make prizes? Why not just have the cups?
Because you're paying homage to fucking Owen Hart, who truthfully, this should have been something that WWE did a long time ago, but Martha fucking hated Vince McMahon. So
they killed his killer fucking husband.
I get dude. It. Come on. But it's like, finally, like, somebody's bringing to light, like, well, let's celebrate Owen Hart, right? I was annoyed. We were watching it, and she goes, and Oj is up there. I go, they put that kid in the fucking nosebleed seats? What the fuck?
Yo, their daughter looks just like Owen. It's fucking
this
scary.
Kid looks like Owen, too.
No, the daughter, dude. And she's got his face.
Isn't the daughter jacked?
She looks pretty svelte, yeah.
I thought she was, like, a wrestler for a second. And then when I heard, like, Athena... Which you know, Ember Moon showed up. Yeah. I thought I was like, wait. Then I was like, wait, her name's Athena? I was like, wait, did Owen Hart's daughter, like, do a run-in on the pay-per-view? But no, it's actually Ember Moon.
Ember Moon showed up. Melvin Bivin showed up. Roosh and Andrade are going to be a thing, which is fucking sick.
That's cool.
They forego. They don't do the handshake. They do the fucking, it's fucking awesome. Yeah, Ruby Britt was like, whatever. It was flat. I agree with what Kate said before. Like, they fucking Rancid was fucking there. I thought Lars, whatever his fucking nuts was, he was the lead singer. Shows you how much I know about fucking Rancid.
No, Lars isn't the same.
No, I didn't.
Well, no, he might be, but maybe just didn't sing that. So I thought, Matt, I thought that too. And I'm a big Rancid guy. And I thought that it was Lars the entire time.
That's why you take 30-minute showers, right?
That's right.
Wait, Lars Ulrich sings for Rancid now?
No, Lars Fredriksson.
Lars Fredriksson.
I have no idea what that is.
What else are we forgetting?
You talking about the drummer from Metallica?
The three-way for the tag titles was sick. I picked Team Taz because I thought that Christian Cage turn was happening, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. Have to wait and see when that happens. Is there anything else? Oh, yes. I had to tweet this out last night. If you're going to do the fucking sharpshooter, for the fucking love of God, learn how to do the fucking sharpshooter. And you know what?
That's a great point.
Santana replied with a laughy cry face. And this shit on our Twitter's got almost 400 likes.
Really? Because, man, yes. I thought the same thing because I noticed it earlier when the...
when Ruby Soho does it,
the Cloverleaf,
I'm like, what? And they're like, it's a sharpshooter. I'm like, she's just fucking laying on top of her with her legs.
Yeah.
This isn't the sharpshooter. And then fucking Punk did it. And I'm like, this isn't the sharpshooter. Sting is in your fucking company. Teach these people how to do the fucking sharpshooter.
Dude, and yeah, so if you want to get to that point eventually, you can, but you got to start like with the standing base and
holy
like
shit.
Like, dude, and the same thing happened with, whoever did the Cloverleaf, I forget. I wasn't sure if it was a female match or a match.
Yes, I think it was Serena Deeb went for the Cloverleaf.
It was literally just like, oh, I'm just gonna sit on your butt.
It's fucking terrible.
Which is insane to think that these incredibly talented people can screw that up. But
just
maybe they were exhausted. Maybe they were tired. Like, but it was none of them. None of the sharpshooters. None of the Cloverleafs looked good at all.
No, none at all. None at all. If you want an in-depth look at Double or Nothing, please, the Mark Order Podcast, Wednesday night, 10:15. Kate, Ryan, Anthony, I'm sure I will be there. I'm not sure I'll be there. I should be there. We're going to talk about Double or Nothing and Dynamite. So tune in Wednesday night on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Kevin, anything before we go down the aisle?
Love that Jurassic Express kept the belts.
Yeah.
I think that they're still teasing a Christian, maybe Jungle Boy thing. I feel like that has to happen at some point, but they haven't pulled the trigger at all yet. I know there's a big 10-man tag on Dynamite. So, yeah. So I didn't watch WWE. I didn't even watch Impact this past week. So we'll get back to that next week.
We will. Now it's time for our favorite new segment. Down the aisle. Now, gentlemen, we could have gone two different ways tonight.
Uh-oh.
Okay, because my buddy Alex was here last night. Alex, a Russian. And he was telling me about WWF Coliseum Home Video UK Rampage 92, where there is a match, Legion of Doom, against Dino Bravo and Colonel Mustafa. Except it is Dino Bravo in his Canadian gear with the black hair.
Yes. I'm familiar.
So I said, oh, maybe I'll go that way. But then, unfortunately, we got some sad news today. FMW legend Tarzan Goto, unfortunately, passed away after his battle with liver cancer at the age of 58.
That's sad.
So if you are familiar with FMW... Onita and company, Tarzan Goto was heavily featured there. So that sent me down the aisle.
Oh, boy.
Gentlemen. And that brought me to ECW's Heat Wave 96.
Ooh.
Which is where we find ourselves.
This event took place July 13th, 1996, at the Philadelphia 2300 Arena, the ECW Arena. I just pulled the card up. Your opening match, it seemed, was the Gangsters against the Samoan Gangster Party, which was Matt Daddy Kane and Sammy Silk.
That was 3 minute warning.
In
was it
1996?
Yeah,
that's crazy. Sammy Silk was Samu,
mm-hmm.
and Mac Daddy Kane was Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was Samu and Rosie. It wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't Jamal?
Ecky and
Ecky and Jamal and Rosie. Fucking name dropping. I love it.
That's his name.
We got Mikey Whipwreck defeating the Giant Killer, Paul Lauria.
Well, of course.
Which somehow turns into the Eliminators defending their tag titles against Mikey Whipwreck and Sabu.
What?
The Dudleys, Big Dick and Bubba, who were accompanied by Chubby Dudley, D.W. Dudley.
Dances with Dudley.
Inside Guy Dudley.
That was their Indian, because Dances with Wolves was a movie.
Dances with Dudley.
Yep.
They took on the FBI, JT Smith, Little Guido, with Big Guido and Salvatore Bellomo.
Jesus Christ. Well, at least they got real Italians in there.
Wait, LA Smooth is not Rosie.
Okay.
The Samoan Gangster Party was L.A. Smooth and Samu.
The Samoan Gangster Party was Mac Daddy Kane.
Sammy the Silk.
And Sammy Silk. Sammy Silk is Samu.
And L.A. Smooth is not Rosie.
Mac Daddy Kane is Rosie.
Rosie is Big Maddie Smalls.
L.A. Smooth is pretty notable on the indie scene up around here. He's got black, greasy, curly hair.
It is Samu and Rosie.
It's L.A. Well, Wikipedia
Samu
has it as
Sammy the Silk, okay. And Rosie was Big Maddie Smalls.
Wikipedia has it as L.A. Smooth, and L.A. Smooth is not Rosie.
L.A. Smooth is a loafer.
Yes. Wait, what?
His name is a loafer.
A loafer shit.
Because 1996 sounded way too young for Rosie to be.
That was Rosie.
Big Maddie Smalls.
That's look, L.A. Smooth was around in 91, too.
Wait, are we talking Heatwave 96? Or are we talking...
We're talking Heatwave 96.
All right, so my Wikipedia says...
Stop with the Wikipedia.
Okay.
This is Rosie.
I don't know, where are you?
Yeah, Andy's. Sammy the Silk was Samu, and Matt Anoa'i was Big Maddie Smalls.
Okay.
Matt Anoa'i is Rosie. It's right here. Samoan Gangster Party, 1995, under the Samoan SWAT team on Wikipedia.
All right, so Heatwave 1996 was the third Heatwave professional wrestling event produced by Championship Wrestling, ECW. Event. Oh, it was the preliminary matches, right? The opening match was a tag team match in which the Gangsters, New Jack and Mustafa Saeed, took on the Samoan Gangster Parties, L.A. Smooth, and Sammy the Silk.
He was Mac Daddy Kane at the time. It's not L.A. Smooth.
Okay, so it's not L.A. Smooth. It's not Lloyd.
Right. L.A. Okay. Smooth.
Is Lloyd.
Yes.
It's not Lloyd.
Right. It's not Lloyd.
Okay. All right. Carry on. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? I'm sorry.
Good.
Keep going. Let's go down this aisle. That's what we do down the aisle.
He did work in ECW 96, only one event where he was defeated by Brian Lee. Wikipedia. As L.A. Smooth.
Wikipedia schooling me. All right. No more Wikipedia. I'm done. I closed it out.
Oh, come on, Tony.
Tarzan Goto defeated Axel Rotten on this show.
Wait, wait, wait. Tarzan Goto was on an ECW show in 96?
He was.
That's crazy.
He wrestled, I guess he was over here on Excursion, maybe? He wrestled. He wrestled. They did their show. He came over and he beat Axel Rotten at a house show in July, the day before Heatwave. And he beat him at Heatwave. Then in Japan, when ECW went there, he lost to the Eliminators in a handicap match.
What?
And then he defended the IWA World Heavyweight title against Bubba Ray Dudley.
Wow.
1996, wow. People.
There you go.
Shane Douglas beat Jericho, Pitbull number 2, and Too Cold Scorpio in the four-way elimination match for the ECW World Television title.
Jericho was the champ going in, no?
He was.
I remember this part. It's the Lionheart. He only held it for a couple of weeks.
It's the first ECW TV show I ever saw was this match. It was fucking 40 minutes.
Wow. Wow. This was your intro to ECW, this match?
Yes.
Well, this wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Luis Spicoli beat El Puerto Ricania in a minute and 10 minutes.
A minute and 10 minutes.
A minute and 10 seconds, only to be challenged by Sabu directly after, where Sabu beat Luis Spicoli. So Sabu does double duty, as does Mikey Whipwreck.
In a minute and 7 minutes.
And then the main event was a Rage in a Cage six-man tag match. Terry Gordy, the Sandman, Tommy Dreamer.
Oh, God.
Against Brian Lee Raven and Stevie Richards.
Okay, Brian Lee Raven and Richards makes sense. And who was on the other side with Bam Bam and Sandman?
Dreamer.
Wow. So this is before they... Wait, but wait a minute. Who was there first? Doc was there first, and then he brought in Gordy, no?
No, man.
Yeah, see, Doc had to be, because I was at the ECW Arena one time, and Gordy was standing outside the front doors. I ran out and got a picture with him while he was waiting to come in.
So Heatwave 96 was obviously 96, asshole.
I would hope so.
Hold on. Because today I wanted to watch Doc and Gordy against the Eliminators.
Doc and
not
Gordy.
It's not on the network.
Doc and Gordy.
All right, so let's see here. So the first appearance of Dr. Death is The Doctor Is In, August 3rd, 1996.
Yeah.
So Gordy was there before him. Because if this is Heatwave 96, that's in July.
Oh, good call. All
right, let me just double.
But then how the hell was Gordy... Maybe I'm remembering that wrong.
Yeah, because Gordy debuted at Hardcore Heaven 96 to challenge Raven for the title.
Then maybe that's when I got the picture with him. Then my memory is off.
Because Dr. Death doesn't come until August. He beats Devin Storm at ECW's Unlucky Lottery in September.
How long did that match go? 1 minute and 14 minutes?
Let's see here.
It's a new thing.
They don't have times on this because I think it was like one of those ECW spot shows.
Gotcha.
And then the Bad Crew.
Oh, God.
Dog and Rose.
There was no other team that got booed as bad as Bad Crew in ECW. When they got announced and their music hit, people would just fucking chant and fuck Bad Crew. Bad Crew sucks. Everything. Nobody liked Bad Crew.
Matthew Birch, wasn't that ECW TV title four-way when Francine left the Pitbulls to join Shane Douglas? Yup. Yup, she throws the powder in his face when he's up for the super bomb. Dr. Death wrestled Johnny Smith at one of their spot shows.
Ah, Johnny Smith, virtual pro wrestling 2 legend.
That's good.
And then he was there for I was looking for High Incident, which is the Eliminators versus Doc and Gordy.
I was there for that. That was Tommy Dreamer and Brian Lee on the big on the and little scaffold,
right?
What God, a dude, fucking
I was looking for that hard.
What a shit show that was. That little fucking teeny tiny scaffold.
Bro, that had Van Damme and Sabu against Furnace and LaFon, too.
That's a hell of a show, man. Sandman, I was there for High Incident.
Sandman, Too Cold Scorpio for the world title. Douglas versus Cody Michaels for the TV title.
Cody Michaels.
Taz Little Guido, Mikey Johnny Smith. I think Gordy was there for, he was gone after High Incident. But he wrestled Bigelow at Ultimate Jeopardy 96. He had his feud with Brian Lee.
When did Gordy get called in to be the executioner? What year was that?
97?
No.
96.
It had to have been around this time, right? Because it would have made sense if they were working together.
Yep. He debuted on the November 18th.
Buried Alive pay-per-view.
Yep.
Right, and he had his first match on Monday Night Raw where he defeated Freddie Joe Floyd.
Which is Tony. Tony, get. He gets it. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if you would know.
He was in bad shape at this point, though.
Yeah, he was. He was.
That's rough.
What year did Gordy die? He didn't make 2000, did he?
He had his last match in 2001.
Yeah.
His last match was in... Dude, his last match. Ready for this?
Oh, boy.
How about bringing it all together tonight, fellas? His last match was January 21st, 2000 at OPW in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Him and Michael Hayes lost to the Hardy Boys.
Holy shit.
Doot, doot, doot. Doot, doot, doot. But doot, and doot, and doot, 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 and doot, and doot, doot, and doot, and doot, and doot, and doot. Bam,
wow. That's not the same OPW that exists today.
It's not On Point Wrestling, is it?
No,
it was Oklahoma Pro Wrestling.
There you go.
Well, I'm the king. Well, I'm the king of Oklahoma professional wrestling.
On the same show.
Oh, no.
Moose?
Hey.
Hardy Boys. Eric Watts defeated Eli the Eliminator.
Hey.
Wow.
Luna Vachon and Sherry Martel went to a double DQ.
Hey.
Prince Albert defeated Gangrel.
No. Fuck no.
And Tarantula defeated Joey Casanova.
Correct. Ding.
Who the fuck is Tarantula?
I don't care. I don't care.
I got news for you, Tony.
What's that?
I know who Tarantula is.
He's still wrestling in Oklahoma. He recently had a match at a WAH event.
Wow.
Is that run by the beautiful people?
You'd never guess what WAH stands for. Wrestle Against Hunger.
Hey.
This is Moose. He lost to the Canadian Red Devil.
I don't know.
He said,
I won!
The Canadian Red Devil's been around for a while, too.
Fuck yeah.
Also known as Devil Man.
Shining the Wizard.
I don't know why every week it's still funny.
These nuts.
I think that's down the aisle, boys.
That was a good one.
My.
Give me some more Moose.
In your face.
Hey. Shining the Wizard. Shining the Wizard.
Holy shit.
Jesus Louise.
You cocksucker.
I don't know why. Like the moose drops. Hey. Or like, I don't think they'll ever get old.
Well, special thanks to Matt Lancey for joining us. Wildcat Sports presents X-Rated on June 25th, Southport Hall in New Orleans, Louisiana. 50 walk-up tickets available day of the show, starting at $25. Doors are at 6, bells at 7, wildcatsports.com. Next week, Luke Hawks joins us. He is I guess he runs Wildcat Sports. I don't want to call him the owner.
He's the face that runs the place.
But he's also been featured heavily on The Young Rock as the ringmaster and Stone Cold Steve Austin. So it'll be fun to talk to him about that.
And heels. And,
we're going to get another match announcement for this X-rated show. So super excited to have Luke on next week. And it's always good to catch up with him. Kevin will have a top five for us next week. No.
All right, I will.
No. Sorry. Next Sorry, week. Kevin. It's a Wizards Rewind. We are taking you. Can I tell him? Can I tell him?
Yeah, you can tell him because this is your.
You pick. And your daily emotion.
November 7th, 1987, WWF Superstars. And boy, is this a fucking show. Capped off by an awesome main event, Hart Foundation defends the WWF tag titles against Strikeforce, Tito Santana, Rick Martel.
Oh, dude, hell yeah.
Dude, King Kong Bundy's on this. We get a preview of the five guys for Andre's team at Survivor Series, which comes up in a couple weeks after this. We get Ken Patera teaming up with Billy Jack Haynes. Where the fuck else are you going to see this? This episode is awesome. Plus, there's extra surprise. You know, I'm not even going to spoil them. You'll find out next week. But if you want to watch it, go over to Daily Motion. WWF Superstars 1987, November 7th episode. It's fan-fucking-tastic. Action-packed action, people.
Oh, hold on. Turn your music off. Uh-oh. You almost got me again. You almost fucking got me.
Uh-oh, what do you mean?
What's our punishment? Yeah, what you won the picks last year.
You don't think I'm going to win them again this year? Maybe I want to double up.
It doesn't matter what's going on this year. We're in May now, bro. We're almost half a year into the season here. You got to tell us what our punishment is.
Double or nothing.
Well, all right. Then, you know, that's kind of fair enough. So we were talking about